Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Kratty Insurance Agency. Your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football just moments away here with the Marion Wildcats in town to take on the Silver Streaks. Both teams 1-1 on the season in their final non-conference games before the conference gets started next week. The Silver Streaks will be at home for Moline for a homecoming game, while the Wildcats will be back into their South 7 Conference action. For our regional report, I want to tell you run through the scores from last night. Our regional report brought to you by Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home but not miserable when you get the bill. Out of the Western Big 6 Conference from last night, conference continues to struggle. Before we all start to play each other next week, Quincy at this point is the only team over the 500 mark in non-conference action. The Blue Devils beat Chicago North Lawndale last night 35-15. They're 2-1 heading into their conference opener next week. Moline and UT got their first wins of the season last night. The Maroons, a 49-14 winner on the road at Rich South. UT went on the road as well and defeated Westchester St. Joe 26-20. They're both 1-2 on the season. And Alleman and Rock Island, after winning their opening games 2 weeks ago, have now lost two in a row. Alleman lost at home to Sterling last night 28-21. Certainly no shame in losing to the Golden Warriors. And Rock Island fell 28-18 to Algonquin Jacobs. And from some of the things we were looking at, Coach Brian Storrs was not happy at all with the way his Rocks played last night and felt that they were really unprepared and were showing some bad habits and losing that one last night. So four of the teams in the conference are 1-2. Quincy's 2-1, and the Streaks are trying to get to 2-1 with a victory here today over Marion. Prairie Land Black last night. Abingdon Avon rolled over North Fulton 38-20. South Fulton, a 29-12 winner over Lewistown, and Rushville Industry defeated the Peoria Heights Co-op 35-21. And the Prairie Land Blue, Knoxville lost to Elmwood Brimfield 35-20. Farmington shut out Midland River Valley 48-0. River Valley still has not scored this season. And BPC West Prairie was a 36-14 winner over Havana. In the Lincoln Trail, Stark County remains unbeaten, handling Mid County 41-6. United went to 3-0 with a 42-12 win over Ridgewood. Princeville down Mercer County 27-12. The Princes are 3-0, and Mercer County is now 1-2 on the season. Anawan Weathersfield, an easy 55-6 winner over West Central. That game was no surprise. West Central Conference last night, Monmouth-Roseville is in action today at St. Joseph Ogden. They're kicking off in about an hour. West Hancock has an afternoon game against a team out of the St. Louis area. Illini West, Macomb, and QND all were winners last night in non-conference play. Elsewhere, Orion was an easy winner over Fulton. Rockridge surprisingly got its first win of the season last night, beating Bureau Valley 50-14. Sherrard lost to Erie Prophetstown, and then teams that are on the Silver Streaks schedule. Dunlap was a 10-7 winner over Pekin. LaSalle Peru defeated Bloomington 44-34. And Canton, Michigan, the team that the Silver Streaks will wrap up the season with here at home in Week 9, won its second game, defeating another Michigan team, Livonia Franklin, 27-17. So that gives you our regional report as we get ready for Silver Streaks football here, Jim. And, you know, we always try to at least touch on the weather conditions. We've had about three different types of weather I think you could have through the first 3 weeks of the season, and we're certainly grateful not to have to go through what we did last week from a weather perspective.
Yeah, hopefully last week was the only super hot one, I would guess, as the weeks go along. That would make that likely. Today has turned out great. You know, this morning was pretty tough. In fact, even during the noon hour when a lot of us came out here, we were wearing light jackets, some even with some hoods up. About everybody had a sweatshirt in hand. But yeah, now the sun has become the dominant force, and it's it's just perfect down here. There's a nice light, cool breeze out of the north, and if you're a player, you couldn't ask for anything better than this. Although if you're trying to return a punt and you're looking up into the high sky, that might be a little tough. I know you had brought that up with Coach Doherty, but being a north-south field and the sun a little bit angling toward the west now, I don't think that's going to be a big issue.
Well, I wouldn't think so. And Coach Doherty also made the comment that with school getting out of 240, they're usually out here by 3:15 generally to start practicing. So the sun angles certainly aren't going to be dramatically different now than they would be in another hour, we wouldn't think. And it is a bright sunshine, with the clouds having dispersed enough that there's really more sunshine than cloud cover.
Sure makes the field look pretty, because yeah. You got all the, you know, it's just so green with the field turf, and the lines are so crisp and white, and it's a good way to show off our field to a school that drove 5 hours up here to play a football game, and hopefully they'll love the accommodations but won't like the result.
And Jim, we can see numbers this week compared to 2 weeks ago when Dunlap was in town, and I'm sure the fans appreciate that too.
Yeah, good turnout for a Saturday afternoon. Here we go.
Silver Streaks won the toss. They declined. They deferred to the second half, and they are kicking off from the 40-yard line with the win from the backside. A low line drive kick taken at the 7-yard line. And Marion's return man is Dylan Simpson, bouncing to the far side of the field, the Marion side, and taken down right at the 25-yard line, which is where this game gets underway. Marion led by Isaac Baker, a senior quarterback. Started as a junior last year. He's 6'2", 175, and apparently has done a lot of work in the offseason to get ready for his senior year. And Marion's attempts to continue their decade-long run into the postseason. They can do a little bit of everything as this drive starts from the 25-yard line. They'll start with Braden Ziegler and Kyle Hughes in the backfield. Ziegler a senior, Hughes a junior. And they'll shuttle in quite a few sophomores throughout the game as well. We'll set the offensive line for you as the handoff goes to the right side. That's Ziegler bouncing back toward the middle and stopped a couple yards short of the first down up to the 33-yard line. The wideouts are Seth Bayer, Parker Lively, and Dylan Simpson, three seniors there, all right around the same size at 5'10", 5'11", and 6'1". And then the offensive line goes 270, 265, 210, 215, and 275. The biggest one, Tucker Sullivan, is a junior. We'll call it second and three. Flag down as the handoff goes left. The Streaks read it pretty well. Stop it right at the line of scrimmage and then pushed backwards. And let's see what the flag is, as that one came immediately as the play got underway.
Tavian Cervantes led the tacklers there for Galesburg. They were up to the task. It wasn't going to be a first down anyway. The procedure call against Marion. They will go ahead and move this one back the five. Jason Kelly had the tackle on the kickoff return, so some of the names that we've been talking about here in the last couple of weeks frequently, Cervantes and Kelly doing a lot of good things defensively, and it looks like the Streaks are going, well, I thought they were going to decline it, but now they go ahead and mark it off.
So that takes it back to the 28-yard line. It'll bring up second and seven now.
Yeah, this offensive line is just about the same size we are. You know, we're a big team up front, but Marion, at least on their offensive line, is just about the same.
Streak show blitz. The left-handed quarterback wings one across the middle. It's caught a couple yards short of the first down. He's pushing forward. It finally takes three black jerseys to bring him down. It'll be a yard short of the first down at the 35-yard line. And third and short for Marion. They get the penalty yardage back, plus one more. I think a left-handed quarterback throws any kind of wrinkle into the mix. You don't see one very often. It's the first time the Streaks have seen one.
Yeah, well, it's I'm sure Coach Doherty is addressed that in practice this week, and so maybe a little bit. They even talk about that in the NFL, how it's a little different look, and you're used to teams rolling right more than left.
Out of the pistol snap, this goes to Baker. It fakes the handoff, and the quarterback keeper gets up to the 38, close to the 39-yard line, more than enough for the first down. He needed one. He got four.
Sometimes it's a little harder for the offense than the defense if you have a left-handed quarterback and he goes out for some reason and then you bring a right-hander in. Sometimes that can throw your offense out of sync. So not wishing any ill on him, but that can be a problem when you when you've got the southpaw.
New set of downs at the 38-yard line. The left-hander Baker rolling left on the move, throws it into the mitt right at the 45-yard line and taken down immediately, but the completion to Seth Bayer for a gain of 7. Marion has to get to the 48.5-yard line for a first down. This will bring up 2nd and 3.
Marion comes in 1-1, and they played two really good teams out of Champaign. They lost to Central, gave up a bunch of points in that one, but then beat Centennial, and so they have not had any soft touches.
Quick snap on 2nd down. Handoff goes straight up the middle on a dive play, crossing the 50 and into Galesburg territory at the 49 for a first down. And a gain of 6. And they're going to come right back at it quickly. They're lining up. They're getting the play in from the sideline. And they are ready to go. From the Galesburg 49-yard line, the pistol snap, the handoff to the running back out of the backfield, Kyle Hughes. Running left to right, then tries to cut up the middle, gets back to the line of scrimmage for no gain. It'll be 2nd down.
Larry Pettis, first man there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. And anytime you have a play that develops as slowly as that one for Marion did, you're not going to get very far. The back got it, kind of hesitated, let the line penetrate, and by then it just closed in on him. There wasn't much of a hole at all.
Streaks with a three-man defensive front, 4 linebackers, 2 wideouts left, 2 wideouts right for Marion. Baker, the keeper, rolls short of the 45-yard line, stacked up, falls onto his back, tries to lift the football over his head forward another yard. The official spot it right at the 46 for a gain of 3, and it'll be 3rd and 7.
Cervantes, Castellano, and Kelly all in on the tackle that time, a team effort on the Marion quarterback.
At the Galesburg 46-yard line, 3rd and 7, back to pass, under pressure. Baker flushed out of the pocket on the run, underthrows his man across the 40-yard line, intended for Dylan Simpson. Good defense by the Streaks, forcing the issue, and that'll bring up 4th down and likely a punt into the wind.
Yeah, a lot of excitement on the Streaks coaching staff. They love the fact that they got a stop on Marion's first series.
Now, no mistakes.
Down here on the sidelines is talking briefly with Greg Shire. He's the physician on the sidelines. He and Jeremy Carrier split the duty. We saw Jeremy here in the Dunlap game, but Greg on the sidelines tonight or this afternoon. I said, what do you think? He said, go Cubs. I said, you're all right.
The suspended game between the Cardinals and the Reds, meanwhile, went to the Reds. They won it 4-2. And the regularly scheduled game is now underway. We have a false start penalty against Marion before they even got the punt off, so that works in the Silver Streaks' favor. 2nd false start penalty. And that takes him back behind the original line of scrimmage on 4th down and moves the ball back into Wildcats territory at the 49. Low snap and a low kick. And the Streaks might have even got a finger on that one, and it bounces out of bounds on the far side of the field of the Marion sideline at the 40, and Galesburg has great field position, and that one started with a bad snap.
It sure was.
Lucas Shevlin was fortunate to get it on the bounce right into his hands, but the Streaks were already into the backfield going after the ball, and I don't know if they got a deflection on that or not, but the punt was not good, and the Streaks have great field position.
That snap was so bad, I'm not sure it didn't bounce twice before he got it. And then not much time to get a kickoff. So good break for the Streaks. Instead of having their back to their own goal, they're out with some room to roam at about the 40.
And of course, into the wind, too. That didn't help Marion either. Out of the I formation, the handoff to DeAndre Morin gains a yard on 1st down to the 41. Morin coming off his 315-yard rushing performance at La Salle, Peru last week. The offensive line are Dave's Autobody Crunch Time players of the game that night for opening up all kinds of holes for DeAndre. Marion looked ready for him on the first play here, though.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if he gets much more than even half of that 300-plus in this one today against Marion.
Tyree Mitchell, the wideout to the right side. The man in motion is Caleb Clay. Takes the handoff going left to right to the 41, to the 45. Pushed out of bounds just short of midfield at the 48-yard line. Good gain on 2nd down for Clay. Knocked out of bounds with 7:51 to go in the opening quarter. No score between the Wildcats and the Silver Streaks, and the Galesburg facing 3rd and a long 1 here.
Good job by the secondary for Marion coming up, fighting off blocks to stay with that. I thought Clay might get a little more when he turned the corner by the Silver Streak sideline, but a couple of the smaller guys come up, including Kyle Hughes, to help make the tackle.
Out of the I formation, Galesburg just 31% on third downs this season, but they get a first down conversion there. Good hole across the left side of the line. Morin bursts through it, takes it to the Marion 46 for a gain of 8, and the Streaks move the chains, and it's good to have the defensive stop to prevent Marion from moving downfield on the opening drive, and now to get a first down into Wildcat territory on the Streaks' first offensive possession. Ball spotted just across the Marion 45-yard line. Out of the pistol, Jacob Ross the handoff. Morin goes right this time, and an ankle tackle made at the 35-yard line, and a touchdown-saving tackle at that for the Marion defense as they got into the secondary, and only Hunter Milligan stopped DeAndre Morin from taking that the distance.
The offensive line doing what it did last week at LP, opening up a nice opportunity for Morin to pick up good yardage there, and the Silver Streaks on the move. And, you know, we figure we're probably an underdog coming into this game from what we've seen, but if we get off to a good start, build some confidence, we might be able to win this one today.
Single setback is Nick Myler, who takes a handoff across the middle, bruises his way inside the 20 into the 30-yard line down to the 29. He'll pick up 3. And the Streaks continue to march downfield. Again, with the wind behind them coming out of the north today. A cool day, but a welcome cool, especially for the kids, being in hot classrooms most of the week till it finally started to ease up. Game kickoff temperature 64 degrees is where we started today. Now out of the pistol, Ross wasn't ready for it. He wasn't looking, and flags fly as the ball looked like it deflected off his helmet, and he scrambled backward to the 40-yard line. Ross was looking left, getting his players in position, and because they were moving when the ball was snapped, that's going to be a false start, and they'll move it back 5 yards, which is actually better than what they would have lost on the miscommunication, because Ross was all the way back at the 40.
Good point. Yeah, yeah. The coaching staff's yelling, that was obviously a mess on that play, but we did catch a break by picking up a 5-yard penalty, as odd as that sounds, and we didn't turn it over.
That's true.
We've seen, we saw the bad snap by Marion on the punt. Now, in our freshman game today here, a bad snap was costly for the Silver Streaks in the end zone, gave them Rock Island a safety. Rock Island went on to win that 30-23 in a pretty good freshman football game.
Demetrius Pulley was intercepted at about the 10-yard line at the end of the game. Streaks had a fourth down, down 7, trying to tie it up. Morin bowls his way back the 5 yards that they lost on the penalty and more down to the 27-yard line to gain 7, and that'll bring up 3rd and 5. Didn't look like there was a whole lot there, but DeAndre made the most of it.
Last week, Morin with the 300-plus yards. First Silver Streak to do that since Jonathan Mixon did it a number of years ago.
3 years ago.
Which would have had him for that playoff game. At
yep. The ball pops loose at the end as Myler gets down low, and then it squirts out of a couple, underneath a couple more players, all the
back.
Way back behind the 30-yard line. And, yeah, I think the Galesburg Silver Streaks did finally fall on it. Like it was covered in oil, it just kept squeaking out from underneath bodies on the field, and back at the 31-yard line is where the Silver Streaks recover the Myler fumble.
It's too bad because we had some forward progress, and then it got away, and Jared Fredrickson, the one that finally fell on it. And when he falls on it, it's probably not going anywhere. He wrapped it up pretty well there, but now a 4th and long.
So 4th and 9 for the Silver Streaks. With the wind behind them, lining up to go for it. The snap to Ross, looking downfield. Good protection in the backfield. Now he's got some room up to the 35-yard line. Steps back. Here comes the pressure off his back foot. He throws it, and Jacob Carl drops it at the 26-yard line. Would have been 5 yards short of the first down anyway, and the Streaks give it up on downs.
Well, there's an inexperienced quarterback, I think, that time. Ross just hesitant. He didn't want to make a bad throw, and you don't want that either, but on 4th and 9, when you've got that much time, you figure somebody's got to be open because the line had done a great job in blocking up front. He was able to scramble around a little bit, buy himself some time, but still, even if he completes that, it's not a first down. Marion had that well covered.
Both teams held scoreless on their first possession. Marion takes over. 5:08 to go first quarter at the Wildcat 31-yard line. The quarterback, Baker, rolling right, throws against his body downfield, has a man open, and he overthrows Dylan Simpson in Galesburg territory at the 40-yard line. Even the wind actually had stopped. I mean, I don't know if you feel it the same way, Jim, down on the field, but the flag is hardly moving there, and maybe that was part of the reason why he overthrew that, anticipating a little more breeze there.
Yeah, we're still, I can still feel the breeze that's coming out of the northwest, and but not hard enough that unless you put a lot of air underneath the ball, it's going to affect it all that much.
Second and 10 for the Wildcats from the Marion 31. Streaks blitz from the backside. He crosses back, throws into that blitz, and it's complete at the 30-yard line, but the Streaks defend it very well. Yeah, I don't know if it'll go for any gain at all after the completion to Adolph Paulson. They're going to spot it right at the 31, so no gain on the completion.
Yeah, that was outstanding defense. Dalton Ramsey putting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, chasing him to the right side. They throw it back to the left, and you're thinking, well, maybe they've read this defense. They're going to make a big gain out of this, but three Silver Streaks quickly closed in there and shut it down.
Yeah, he turned around to his blind side and saw Ramsey coming right at him. Now the pass downfield, and it's caught, but out of bounds at the Galesburg 37-yard line. A well-thrown pass up the near sideline, the home sideline, and Seth Bayer did a nice job to wait for it, catch it over the shoulder, but he stepped out of bounds, and it falls, so it's an incomplete pass, and the Streaks defense holds.
Yeah, he was having to toe the line on that, and again, that ball thrown up into the high sky. That wasn't an easy catch. He did bring it down, but pretty hard for him to get it inbounds.
So two incompletions and a pass completion of zero on this series. And here comes the Marion punt,
yes,
and the Streaks with a block. Caleb Play come in, got a hand on it, scooped up by the Silver Streaks, and a touchdown run back for Galesburg, who take a 6-0 lead. Jason Kelly picked it up, Caleb Play got the block, and the Silver Streaks convert a Marion mistake into points.
Well, you just knew when the guy got the ball to punt it, he was taking his time, and you're thinking, my gosh, we got two guys collapsing on this pretty quickly. He didn't have much of a sense of urgency, and the Streaks smothered it, and then
and they were coming anyway.
Opportunistic, yeah, able to pick it up and go ahead and run it in because there was nobody from Marion in the ballpark near them to be able to stop it once we picked the ball up.
Streak special teams, special again. They nearly got a safety on a kickoff or on a punt in the first game of the season. They recovered a punt last week, or forced a safety last week on a bad punt by LaSalle Peru, which the quarterback ended up having to dive toward the back of the end zone and knock the ball out of bounds. And now this week, after a near safety 2 weeks ago, a safety last week, they convert to a special teams touchdown on the blocked punt. I think we have a false start on the Streaks' extra point kick. So we'll move it back 5 yards. This shouldn't have really any effect on anything.
Especially with the wind at your back.
Uh-huh.
Joe Anderson, as we mentioned, our first week, comes over from the soccer team to do the kicking. And after, I think we had one bad kick there the first week, but other than that, he's been dead on.
Fighting Illini finish off a 44-0 win over Western Illinois, so they've had their way the first 2 weeks of the season, despite the firing of Tim Beckman right before the first game. And they seem to be holding it together pretty well, given those two games. The kick is wide left. Looks good from up here, but the officials right under the goalpost said he missed it to the left, so the score holds at 6-0, 4:13 to go here in this first quarter.
Yeah, he had plenty of leg, but just pulled it a little bit to the left of the upright, so hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt us. You know, you're talking about the Illini, and I couldn't help but wonder. I remember when Michigan won the national basketball title that year, they fired their head coach just before they went into the tournament, and everybody thought, well, that's the dumbest move I've ever seen. Frieder, wasn't it? Bill Frieder?
Yep.
And then put in Fisher, and they end up winning the whole NCAA tournament with an assistant coach. Now, I don't think Illinois is going to win the national football title, but that may turn out. Like, they seem to really like this fellow, Cubitt, who's their new coach. And maybe in hindsight, I mean, not again, they haven't played Alabama and Ohio State. They've played Western and Kent State, but still, they've looked pretty dominant. So Who knows? With Lunt at quarterback, they may be better than we thought.
Well, my team couldn't beat South Dakota State in a home game, for crying out loud. So 2-0, doesn't matter who you play, it's looking pretty good. Boy, nice job by the special teams, who just gave absolutely no room to run for Jaden Lacy on that kickback. He had intentions of going upfield. He saw the wedge coming at him, so he moved left, and the black jerseys just converged. And Marion's going to start this drive at the 12. So after two incompletions and a play for no gain on the last series, Marion's back on offense and deeper in Wildcat territory to start this drive.
Still a long way to go, but down here on the field, you watch this thing develop. It's sure apparent that Coach Tim Doherty's got this team ready to play and has scouted Marion very well here so far.
The left-handed quarterback out of the pistol across the middle. It's intercepted by the Silver Streaks. This time, it's Tyree Mitchell who picks it off. And back-to-back turnovers for all intents and purposes. Galesburg has it at the Marion 23.
Biggest surprise so far in this young season has been how well this defense has played. I was afraid we would have to find a way to outscore teams, especially in the first half of the year, but this defense has been good up front. It's been good in the secondary. And there again with Mitchell with the pick. We saw Kelly with a big pick a couple of weeks ago. These guys are athletic. They seem to have a good understanding of where they're supposed to be on the field. And another turnover.
From deep in Marion territory at the 23, a fake by Ross. Looks toward the sideline, and it's dropped.
Great play. Marion D-back came over and just poked that thing away from our tight end. Bond, a diving effort to poke that away. Otherwise, we might have a big gain on the near sideline.
Boy, I mean, he came in at the last split second, too, didn't he? Because it looked for all the world like that was going to be an easy catch for Bond to make moving toward the sideline.
Yeah, Patrick, he's a big target, but he threw that ball kind of low, and Hunter Milligan able to get over there, number 9, for Marion to knock it away.
Ross comes up under center on 2nd and 10 from the Wildcat 23. Handoff to Clay coming from the outside. Tries to follow the line inside the 25. Gets back to the line of scrimmage and maybe a yard more. It's a very short gain either way on 3rd down coming up now. So they'll say it was indeed no gain. So 3rd and 10 now, and the Marion defense has stiffened up here through the first two plays of this series. Ross drops back now into the pistol. Handoff up the middle. Flag flies as it goes to DeAndre Morin inside the 20 to the 18-yard line for a gain of 5 on 3rd down. But it looks like this one's coming back. Saw the referee kind of point Galesburg's direction as he and the side judge were talking things over, and an illegal shift, so that'll move the Streaks back. I don't think Marion, especially on a play that gained positive yardage, I don't think they'll mind moving him back 5 yards and give the Streaks another down, even this deep in their own territory.
Hear a little rumble to the south of the stadium. There's four Stearman flying in formation there. I thought we might see a few actually fly right over the top of the field. We used to see that years ago over here at the old Van Dyke Field and Stearman Weekend, but so far those are the only ones I've seen.
Yep, they would do that on Friday night games.
Yep.
I suppose the FAA rules have changed that. You know, you can't fly a drone over a stadium. I wonder if that's just not allowed at all over stadiums these days.
Yeah, maybe I hadn't heard, but I guess that would make sense.
3rd and 15 across the middle, and a bad pass by Ross. Picked off at the 10-yard line, and Marion's run back goes to the 30 and finally stopped, and a late flag heaved to the ground as Marion returns it to the Wildcat 34-yard line.
There's that man again, Hunter Milligan.
Well, he was the only guy there, too.
Yep. Good sure catch, and I was just glad we found a way to get him down. I would have hated to see him return that all the way for a touchdown. He had a lot of open field. That flag, I don't know, a face mask, is that what we've got?
I mean, it was right where the play came to an end. Personal foul, against Marion.
Oh, good.
I mean, the tackle looked clean from where I was, so I wasn't sure. So the personal foul, it was somewhere in that vicinity, though, because, I mean, the referee fired that flag to the ground right where the play stopped. So the personal foul after the return, after the interception to the 33, maybe the 34, is going to back him up back inside the 20 now. So that's already the third Wildcat penalty for 25 yards, and this drive will start at the Marion 17. So both quarterbacks have thrown an interception. Marion's did not hurt in terms of producing any Silver Streak points, despite giving the ball up deep in its own territory. Now the Wildcats will have it from their own 17.
Marion, of course, from way down in southern Illinois, but they did not drive all the way up. If you're just joining us on the pregame, we were talking with their coach. They stayed in Peoria overnight, so they got a good night's sleep and didn't just get off the bus after a six-hour ride.
Handoff goes to Ziegler, bouncing to the outside, and the Streaks are going to have to play catch-up. Finally, it's Nick Myler who runs him out of bounds, but not until he gets all the way up to the 45-yard line for a gain of 28. And that'll put some life into a not bad Marion crowd that made the trip up here, considering the distance.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not packing it in over there, but, I mean, they're spread out and probably got 50, 60 people, I suppose.
Easily. And there are a few of them in the Silver Streak stands, too. I was talking with them. They didn't want to look into the sun, so a few of them came over here, too.
Handoff up the middle for Marion after the gain of 27. It'll go for a gain of 4 across the 47. Close to the 48-yard line is where the play finally stops. It all depends on where the officials want to say the knee went down. Maybe a gain of 4 on first down.
They're down and ready for another snap in a hurry.
And off to the right to Ziegler again, bouncing to the outside, same direction that the first play went that ran for big yardage, and this will be stopped just short of the first down marker, a gain of 6. And now a late flag comes in from the referee standing back behind the Marion players. There was no action going on back there.
And it is a hold against Marion.
Hmm.
So we'll take that. Ziegler picked up some decent yardage again there, but
must have the flag stuck in his pocket, huh? That came out really late.
Well, I think he had thrown it down beside him, but he I don't know that he thought that people weren't aware that was down. Then he picked it up and threw it in there again. So I think it was the same penalty. Unless he saw two infractions and only had one flag. I don't know.
Just trying to emphasize the point, I guess.
Yep.
2:14 to go here in the opening quarter. Streaks lead 6-0 on a blocked punt that was returned by Kelly for the touchdown. And the 10-yard penalty moves Marion back to its own 39-yard line now. They have to get to the Galesburg 46 for a first down.
Going with a full-out huddle this time after the penalty.
Clock rolls under 2 minutes to go now on second down and 15. And another flag from the side judge.
Is it just me or through the first three weeks this year, are we seeing
a lot
more penalty flags?
And a lot of these types of penalties where the players are just lining up and, really haven't had a chance to do anything yet. I don't know if that's one of those point of emphasis kinds of
makes me wonder.
Kinds of ideas.
Well, on the first night we talked to the officiating crew at the end of that game, and they said, that's when the lights went out. We were just finding things to do. And talked with the one fella, he goes, this is the first time the five of us have ever been together before.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And he said, I got to admit, we've probably made some mistakes just like the teams have. So, I don't know, maybe they upset the fruit basket a little bit as far as what officials are working together on what crew, and maybe they have a early season learning curve just like the players do.
Well, at least we don't have any danger of the lights going out here tonight, right?
Well, we hope if we do, that's a story.
Across the middle, and another interception, this time by Nick Myler. As Baker dropped back, and the left-hander threw it toward the near hash mark into Galesburg territory. It was a well-thrown ball, but well-read by Myler, who got up for it. Actually, the ball looked like it might have even been a little behind him by the time he got to it. And the Streaks take over at their 43 on their second interception.
Yeah, I tell you, he's an octopus out there. I mean, if that ball is near him, case in point, that catch he made last week up at LP, Eric Hansen, a co-worker of ours, was telling us that they were looking at that over and over. They said it was just a remarkable catch. And then he got drilled right after it and still held on to it. Miter's got great hands.
from the Galesburg 43-yard line with a minute 24 to go in the opening quarter. The handoff to Morin and penetration in the backfield. And DeAndre had no chance on that one. 30, tackled 30. Chance Hilliard with the tackle. Was into the backfield quickly. And, wow, the officials are going to spot the ball. Well, not quite even a loss of a yard. I'm surprised it's that close to the line of scrimmage, quite frankly. So a credit to DeAndre to get it back anywhere near the line of scrimmage. Second and 10. They go back to Morin. He bounces off a man in the backfield this time. Runs into two defenders and stopped at the 46-yard line. Picks up three. And the Marion defense stiffening up here after giving some ground to the Silver Streaks on their opening drive. And they're starting to make up for some of those offensive errors here as the Galesburg Silver Streaks have had a hard time finding room to run on the ground here these last couple possessions.
Yeah, I don't think Morin will have to work much harder for 3 yards this year than he did right there.
So that'll be third and seven. Galesburg already 1 for 3 on third downs. With the ball spotted just across their own 45. Fake handoff, back to pass. Ross across the middle.
Yep, flag it.
Pass interference intended for Caleb Clay. And the hit was made too early by the defensive back, Ben McLaughlin, and the Streaks are going to have a first down via the penalty.
Yeah, pretty easy call to make there that time as the contact came just ahead of the ball. Well-thrown ball by Ross, and really, he had two options that time. I thought maybe he was going to come down the near sideline where Jacob Carl was in a big mismatch with his size on a D-back that was probably about 8 inches shorter than he is and had a step on him. That was an option, but he went over the middle. And this one worked out as well. It'll be a first down for Galesburg.
That's already the sixth Marion penalty for 55 yards. And we are coming to the end of the first quarter. We'll see if the Streaks can even get off one more play before we run out of time here in the opening quarter. Penalty moves the ball into Marion territory at the Wildcat 39-yard line. So the Streaks get a third down conversion from the penalty. 9.5 seconds to go in the first quarter. Out of the I formation, handoff to Morin. Good defense again there to prevent him from getting anything big. He picks up a yard, and that brings an end to the first quarter with the Silver Streaks leading the Marion Wildcats 6-0 on a Saturday afternoon contest here at Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Is that what you hear from your drains? If it is, there could be a problem with your sewer that's about to cause you a big headache and one heck of a mess. Call my office at Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating to come out and inspect your sewer so you can avoid that untimely sewer backup. We'll send our camera down to identify any problems you are having with your sewer and give you an estimate on what it's going to take to make that problem go away. Stop that gurgling today with a call to Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
One quarter gone here at Van Dyke Field. 6-0 Galesburg. Silver Streaks in Marion territory after the second interception of the day. 3 Marion mistakes in the first quarter. 2 interceptions. And the Silver Streaks blocked a punt, returning it for a touchdown. Galesburg has a pass interception of their own. But a pass interference call got Galesburg this first down, and it'll be 2nd and 9 from the Marion 38-yard line as we get ready to start quarter number 2.
Trainers over here on the sideline for Galesburg looking at Mike Velasquez sitting on the table. Looks like an ankle. They had him standing up. He jumped up and down a little bit. Now he's sitting down. I think they just want to make sure if he's going back in that he's ready.
Ooh, handoff to Morin, and he gets blasted by Eli Barber, the biggest guy on the Marion defensive line, 5'10", 315. And when Morin found him, the play was over.
Yeah, Barber made the tackle on the play just before the quarter break, and then there he is again. And so, yeah, any thoughts of running up the middle, if you're going to do that, you've got to account for the big boy in there because he is a load.
Loss of 2 takes it back to the 41-yard line. 3rd and 11 for the Silver Streaks. This time Ross comes up under center with Morin the single setback, the fake handoff to him. Ross rolls left, and then a little soft pass to Patrick Bond, caught inside the 30-yard line, taken down in first down territory. Just out of bounds, short of the 25-yard line.
Well, just like you draw it up, good job by Ross as he rolled to the left. He quickly had a man on him, but made sure he jumped up in the air and got it over the top of his outstretched fingertips to his tight end, who then had a little room to run. He got a nice kick-out block here on the near side. It picked up an extra 5 yards with that block, and the Streaks with a nice play and a first and 10.
Gain of 16 on the first pass completion of the day. This one going to Patrick Bond. And the Streaks on third and long move the chains, get a new set of downs at the 25. Ross with the keeper. Flag comes down as he steps out of bounds after a gain of 7 up to the Marion 18-yard line. But this one, I'm afraid, is coming back.
Yeah, the official threw the flag, hit Max Snell on the ankle, as a matter of fact, as he was coming out here trying to find somebody to block. I don't know whether it's on Max, but it's on somebody holding for the Silver Streaks.
So that negates a pretty good gain on first down.
Probably hear the Marion fans from here cheering that penalty. They've had a number on their own team and now a 10-yarder against the Streaks that I'm confident they'll accept.
It's a third penalty against the Streaks compared to, as Jim was indicating, sort of the Bronx cheer from the Wildcats side of 6 penalties already through one quarter. And the loss of the penalty yardage takes the Streaks back to the 31. So first and 16 here. We are just underway in the second quarter. Streaks leading 6-0. Offense has not produced points for either team here. It's special teams for Galesburg with a blocked punt and a return to touchdown. Back to pass after the fake. Ross looking the far side of the field into double coverage. It's tipped and then through the hands of Jacob Carl. Nearly intercepted on the far side of the field by Aaron Porter. And then when it went off his hands, it went through Jacob Carl's hands, who was anticipating where the ball was going to be, and then when it got deflected, he wasn't ready for the deflection, and it falls incomplete. Streaks fortunate just not to turn it over.
Yeah, Carl found a seam out there. He was wide open for a little bit, but the ball had to cover quite a bit of ground, and it had a little flutter to it. It wasn't probably the best ball that Ross will throw this year, and it gave the Marion defense a chance to adjust and come over and knock the thing away.
So second and 16 for the Silver Streaks from the Marion 31-yard line, already leading by a touchdown, looking for more. Ross in the short shotgun, handoff, good hole up the middle for DeAndre Moran, trying to spin off a man, taken down at the 20-yard line. He gains 11. Streaks will take that. Great job by the offensive line. They not only opened the hole, but just completely spread it out, and DeAndre had some nice room to run, and it'll bring up third and about middle distance for the Silver Streaks.
Guess what? Another flag. And a procedure call? I never saw that flag hit the ground that early in the play.
Boy, that's late. So the Silver Streaks have had two pretty good gains on the ground on this series, and they've both been negated by penalty. So now we're moving the stick all the way back to the 36-yard line. It'll bring up second and 21.
We talked about how far Marion came for this high school game. Some other games in the area, college. You've got Knox hosting Carleton, which came clear down out of Minnesota. You got Monmouth hosting Central of Iowa, so some teams have made pretty good trips into our area to play football today.
On the high school level, Monmouth playing St. Joseph Ogden
right today.
A
long trip for them over to the Champaign area.
Hand off to Moran. He has nowhere to go. He tried to go up the middle. The hole closed there. Tried to bounce to the outside, and Marion pursued him. Made the stop for no gain. It'll bring up third and 21 now. Moran is a marked man and certainly will be all season long after that 300-plus rushing performance last week. It's been tough for him today. 9 carries for 31 yards. He had a 13-yard gain earlier, but it's been tough for him since then. So on third and very long, Ross rolling right. Some protection, steps out and tackled. Either DeAndre missed the block or Jacob ran right into the tackle, or both.
Yeah, Tommy Wilson, linebacker, coming over there to rock him, a 220-pounder from Marion. He really hit Ross. And, yeah, I think you're right, Brad. I think Ross is expecting there to be a block there because he didn't really have himself prepared to take a hit. He got drilled over there on the Marion sideline. He's all right. He's bounced back up. We're probably fortunate there wasn't a turnover there the way that hit happened.
So the Streaks, despite third and long, not lining up into punt formation. So under we've seen Ross pooch kick it once.
He's going to kick it.
And I would sure think that's what we're going to have again here. And there it is. Put the rush on. But Marion doesn't get a hand on it. Streaks chase it down, and Tyree Mitchell downs it at the one-yard line, or were his heels on the end? Heels were on the goal line. He just let it bounce one time too many. He was trying to let it get closer to the goal line, and I think that last bounce maybe took a more direct angle toward the end zone than he thought it was going to, so he had to try to stop on a dime. Yeah, if he'd have just played it safe and downed it when he had the chance, they'd have had it, I don't know, 3, maybe 2-yard line. He was trying to let it get down to the 1.
Yeah, he got greedy there, no question. And I'm not sure he really knew that he was quite that close to the goal line either. Now that, I don't know, that might have played in the NFL, because if you touch it before your heel touches the line, don't they let it stay? Or did he already have his heel on the line?
I think his heels were on the line when he reached up and downed that ball. And Marion picks up 4 on first down, running left as this drive starts. 9:41 to go in the first half, with the Streaks leading 6-0. It's been a defensive battle for sure here today.
And again, you hope that extra point miss doesn't come back to haunt us.
Mm-hmm. Handoff goes up the middle and to the 29-yard line for a gain of 5. As the handoff went to Kyle Hughes, the only junior in that starting backfield for Marion, and it'll bring up 3rd and 1. So more success on the ground for Marion on this possession than their efforts to try to pass the ball the last couple of possessions, which led to interceptions. They keep it on the ground again, and that'll be enough for a first down. Not a whole lot, but they just needed a yard. They got 2, maybe 3. It'll be first down at the 32.
Yeah, they really packed that in a short yardage offense that time behind that big offensive line. And, boy, that one guy in there, he's a house. 76, Damian Buchanan, 6'4", and 330. And that's sometimes they exaggerate on the sheet. They're not exaggerating. This kid's huge.
They have guys running all kinds of directions on the misdirection in the backfield. Streaks defend it pretty well as it finally ended up going left across that Marion offensive line. Streaks defense hung right with it. DeAndre Morin made the stop, and it goes as a gain of, 2, maybe a little more than I thought they were going to get out of it. It'll be 2nd and 8.
A lot being asked of the Silver Streaks' Larry Pettis. He's the one across the line from the big 330-pounder today.
Again, they're packed in tight, and on the misdirection, the handoff goes to the right side this time to the outside Jaden Lacy all the way to the Galesburg sideline, finally knocked out of bounds at the 45. That's 2 yards past the first down marker. Goes as a gain of 10 up to the 35 for a first down. You're right, Jim. They were really packing it in there, aren't they? These last couple snaps. So Lacy with a gain of 10. This time the play goes left. And they are bouncing around all sides of that Marion offensive line right now. And the ball into Galesburg territory, spotted just short of the 48.
I feel like I'm watching a college game with some of the size of these guys. 6'3", 275, playing right next to 6'4", 330.
Goes as a gain of 7. Hand off to the left side. There goes Lacy again to the outside, all the way to the Galesburg or the Marion sideline on the far side, and first down territory to the 40. And they've turned it into a hurry-up offense here, with everybody packed in tight, not even putting any wide receivers out there. Everybody just a 2 tight end set, and everybody crunched in behind the center and the quarterback. And this is working for them. They're down to the 41-yard line after a gain of 7 more. The snap to Baker, handoff up the middle, goes to Brandon Ziegler. Dives forward close to the 35-yard line for a pickup of 6 more. It'll be 2nd and 4.
And flags flew at the end of that play. Looked like a personal foul. It was after the down. I'm just not sure which team's going to get the brunt of it here.
Ball sitting just short of the 35. Referee calling back to one of his own.
Personal foul.
Yep, against Galesburg. So a gain of 6 plus 15 more.
Seeing some more Stearman planes again flying off to the west and toward the airport. So, yeah, maybe they don't let them fly over, because if I have a plane, I would love to show it off a little bit over the crowd here.
5th Galesburg penalty for 40 yards, their biggest one of the day. So after the gain of six by Ziegler, tack on 15 more. And now Marion's into the Galesburg red zone at the 20. And jumping on both sides.
This will be against Marion.
Yep.
81 right side.
Tight end lining up over there. Jumped. Not only jumped, but I mean he was across and into the neutral zone. Everyone saw that. 5-yard penalty. Back to the Galesburg 25-yard line. First and 25 now. That's the seventh Marion penalty for 60 yards. On first and 15, streak show blitz. It's defended well, sidestepping a man in the backfield. Ziegler finds a little bit of a hole again, crosses the 25 to the 23-yard line.
But, you know, you mentioned the blitz, and DeAndre Morin brought it. He timed it very well. And even though he didn't get the ball carrier, he disrupted their offense enough, I think, just the fact that he got in the backfield that quickly, that they just really weren't able to get much of a start. The rest of the defense collapsed and brought no gain.
Second and 13. After the gain of two by Brandon Ziegler. And another flag comes down from the sideline. I think this one's going to be against Marion.
Yeah, I think this one's against the big right tackle, Joey Lucero. He pulled up and came away disgusted and talking after that one. He must have known he had his hand in the neutral zone.
So, just like that, back 5 yards again. So now instead of second and 13, it'll be second and 18. Already the 13th penalty called in this game between the two teams.
Wow.
So back at the Galesburg 20 or 28-yard line. Second and 18. And the quarterback, Isaac Baker, getting the play call from the sideline. Here comes DeAndre again. Stopped at the line of scrimmage. Baker with protection down the far sideline and overthrown. On the far corner to Dylan Simpson on the Marion side of the field. And with the wind behind, maybe that one played a little bit of impact on the ball, possibly.
Yeah, a pretty well-run play, just a bit overthrown because the receiver had gotten separation about a step on Tyree Mitchell of the streaks. If that ball's on the money, it's 6 points, but it was just a little overthrown.
Marion's 2-for-3 on third downs in this game. They've been hurt by a couple of interceptions and a blocked punt, trailing 6-0 as we approach the midpoint of quarter number two. The blitz is on again from the left side. Baker sidesteps it, throws it back across his body, incomplete, behind one defender and short of a deeper potential receiver at the 10. And that brings up fourth down.
Yeah, it was really kind of hard down here to tell who he was throwing that ball to. Is it the short man or the deep man? Either way, it fell incomplete. Streaks had done a real nice job. Marion had three wide receivers on this side. They brought one down the sideline, two over the middle. Streaks accounted for all of those guys.
Now too deep to punt, especially with the wind at the Marion backside. So they'll line up to go for it on fourth and 18. Baker, pocket collapses, makes the play complete and to Ziegler on the near side, and the Streaks stack him up inside the 5-yard line, still on his feet, battling for the goal line, but the officials had whistled it dead at the 2. And Baker is slow to get up in the backfield, and we've got a penalty down there right at his feet.
Well, and a real...
I wonder if we're going to have a personal foul on the Streaks, maybe going helmet to helmet there.
Yeah, you would think.
He had guys coming at him from both sides.
And Ziegler coming out of the backfield, we did not account for him, and that ball, he had to make an adjustment when he was running, but a good catch, and then he had lots of room over here on the near sideline. We do have the penalty, a personal foul against Galesburg, so the ball already down at the 2. You'll put it half the distance to the goal, and Marion is in business.
Huge fourth down conversion. Not only in the sense that, you know, fourth downs obviously give you a new set of downs, but on fourth and 18, no less.
Yeah.
And deep in Galesburg territory already. So it sets up a first and goal at the 1.
Yep, in this whole first half, that is the key play right now. That single play, that fourth down long conversion. After it looked like we might get a stop there defensively, and now here's Marion.
Exactly halfway through the second quarter. 6 minutes to play in this first half. Galesburg's 6-0 lead in danger.
Okay, they didn't tack the penalty on, so it's at the 2.
Bouncing to the outside, going for the goal line, and apparently the Streaks made the stop just short as Ziegler barreled his way forward. And this is going to be inches short. It will be second and goal. So out of the pistol, Baker, the quarterback, with the snap. They'll go to Ziegler again. Tries to cut back toward the middle, and he's got the touchdown, and that ties the game. We got a Marion player down and slow to get up, grabbing his left arm, Richard Clemens, who lines up on the outside. And he's heading for the sideline. No, he's going to stay in the game, but he's still clutching that arm.
Yeah, you got a line that size in a short yardage situation. You get the ball, you just get right on their backs and lean in, and they did push the defensive line back for Galesburg too deep into the end zone. An easy score for Ziegler and Marion.
Tied at six with 5:25 to go in the first half. The extra point attempt by Mitchell Wilkie. It's got plenty of distance, and it's good. And Jim, you talked about that extra point earlier for the Silver Streaks. Well, it's got them down by one right now with 5:25 to go first half. 7-6 Marion. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Peter, this premium pulled pork sandwich from McDonald's is pure perfection. I'd like to propose we provide them at our company picnic.
Persuasive point, Paul. I think our people would appreciate that. They're pretty passionate about pulled pork in these parts. In fact, I've seen postings from people proclaiming just how pleased they are with this McDonald's pulled pork sandwich in particular. Apparently, it's pretty popular.
Personally, Peter, I'm pretty positive that people prefer it because it's premium pork piled high on an artisan roll. It's priced at just $3.29 and they could pull right up and purchase one. But that's just my personal opinion.
Perhaps you're right, Paul. Why don't you put it in front of the picnic planners for their prompt approval?
Perfect, Peter. I'll keep you posted on the progress.
Please do.
For a limited time, price and participation may vary.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
13 plays, 80 yards for the Marion Wildcats. They take 4 minutes, 16 seconds off the clock. Brandon Ziegler's 2-yard run at the end caps off the scoring, and it's 7-6 with the extra point. Marion now on top. So Wilkie, who just kicked the extra point, lining up the kickoff. The breeze has lessened a bit here as he eases his way up, kicks it deep, and Nick Myler watches it go over his head, bounces a yard short of the back of the end zone and out of bounds. Galesburg has it at the 20. Again, 5:25 to go here in this first half.
Yeah, good leg and a breeze combined to push that ball, hit the back of the R on the Galesburg in the end zone, and no way Myler had any chance to return that ball. So the Streaks working into that breeze, 5:25 to go before halftime. See if we can get something put together and get back on top in this one. You wouldn't mind going down into the locker room down 7-6. You certainly don't want to make a mistake and give Marion a short field and go in any farther behind. So it's one of those situations where you want to be aggressive but not overly so here with the ball.
Yep, Streaks ran into that situation 2 weeks ago in their opener here against Dunlap as the handoff goes right and comes to an immediate stop.
Terrell Henderson, defensive end, 6'4", sophomore.
It was like he just climbed on his back and rolled him down. DeAndre never had a chance. I can't believe DeAndre got back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, DeAndre took it, was going right, and the big kid was coming off of the other end, but nobody blocked him. By the time the handoff was made, he was all over him.
Ross standing back at his 15 to take the snap, a low snap, but he handles it. Now at the middle goes Morin, hit right at the first down marker and falls forward across to the 31-yard line for a first down, a gain of 11, and a nice hole by that offensive line up front. And the Streaks move the chains.
Now Henderson, who made the play on the previous one, had no chance there because Jacob Darst of Galesburg, number 62, made sure that Sullivan wasn't going to do any damage that time. He really put a block on him.
First down. Marker sitting just across the Galesburg 31-yard line. Handoff up the middle. Morin runs into the backside of his own teammate.
Nice,
bounces
nice,
to the
nice,
outside
DeAndre.
To the 35, to the 40. Up to the 50-yard line. And we've got a foot race. Closing hard and a swipe tackle from the backside made as Marion's Hunter Milligan chased down Morin, but not till he got all the way down to the Wildcat 29.
Sometimes you tip your cap to the offensive line when they make a hole and you run. We got to tip our cap to strictly DeAndre Moore in that time because there wasn't anything there. He was able to spin off and went to the left side. It was all Moore, and once he broke in there, was able to use his speed. He's got hands on the knees, sucking a little air right now looking at the sidelines, but that puts us in business here. Great job by DeAndre Morin.
Practically doubled his rushing total for the game. He went from 42 yards to plus 40 on that carry. With the play action, rolling right, Ross underthrows a wide-open Nick Myler across the 25-yard line. Nick down makes the catch, and they'll call it complete to the 24, so he picks up five.
Yeah, Myler doing all he could with that. He would have loved to have had that ball thrown a little bit higher because he would have easily had 10 or 12 yards, but realizing the best he could hope for was just to catch it and fall down, he took what he could get. They got five.
So the Streets continue to make positive yardage and move downfield. Second pass completion of the day for Jacob Ross. From inside the Marion 25, handoff to Morin, up the middle to the right. He gets into first down territory, crossing the 20-yard line, close to the 17. And the Streaks move the chains with under 3.5 minutes to go in the first half, trailing by a point.
And that one was line surge, especially the central and right parts of the Galesburg line, making those 5 or 6 yards pretty easy for Morin.
Call it a gain of 6, 88 yards rushing now for DeAndre Morin. This is the sixth play of the drive for the Silver Streaks. A first down from the Marion 18-yard line. Streaks trying to regain the lead. Handoff up the middle again. Sidesteps a man. Morin down to the 10-yard line before he's tackled. 2 yards short of the first down marker. Positive yardage of 8 more, and the Streaks are starting to think about banging it in here to regain the lead.
And plenty of time, still 3 minutes left, so there's no urgency in that regard, so we can take our time and not hurry things.
96 yards rushing, just like that for DeAndre Morin.
That ball squirted out after he'd hit the ground, but officials had clearly blown it dead, so there was not much of any question on that. And the Streaks, here we go on second and a yard and a half.
From the Marion 10-yard line, Galesburg trailing by one. Myler to the outside, a flag comes down from the referee way back from the backside. Myler tripped up but dives forward, enough for the first down, but it's coming back on a hold.
You knew where that flag went, that that's what that was going to be, and it was well behind the play.
Yep.
I'd like to see that one again. I'm not so sure that was a necessary call, but it is what it is, as Mike Reynolds always tells us, and Tim Doherty's team will have to adjust to that.
It's 2:38 to go before a halftime. Jim, our focus on Streaks Athletics is on golf, I believe, this week, is it not?
Yes, Brad Gross, head coach of the girls' golf team that's had early season success, but not much competition here of late. They're over at Normal today against a good field, and we had a chance to catch up with Brad on Wednesday out at the Lake Bracken as they were practicing, and so we'll discuss the girls' golf team at halftime.
Seventh Streaks penalty for 51 yards. Out of the shotgun, handoff to Moore. He's tripped up immediately. There was a nice hole up the right side there, but DeAndre was down just as soon as he got started as Marion's Tommy Wilson got a hand on his legs. And Morin gets it back inside the 20 to the 19, but it's going to be third and 11.
At least through this first half, these two teams are about as evenly matched as you could have.
Yeah.
I mean, both teams have got good size up front. They don't have any real game breakers, but have some guys with some good ability in the running back position. They've got some excellent secondary. It's a good ball game.
3 for 6 on third downs of the Streaks. This is third and 11. Rolling left, Ross. What a catch by Nick Myler at the 11-yard line. It's short of the first down, but moving toward the sideline, he had to go up high for it and brought it in for the completion.
Right in front of me. I don't know if there's a guy with a better set of hands that will see this year than Nick Myler. That most high school guys do not catch that ball because, number one, you have to catch it. It's thrown hard. He's running towards the sideline, and then he falls right on the ball. I mean, to hold on to it on top of that, that was a heck of a play by Nick Myler.
And it sets up fourth down for the Silver Streaks. Had one earlier that they did not convert. This is fourth and a long three from the Marion 11. Hand off to Morin up the middle, and that one was over almost at the time that it got started.
Yep.
Tommy Wilson, who made the big tackle in the last Morin stop, was there to finish him off. I think it was Chance Hilliard who forced him to go to the inside and run right into the defensive wall for pretty much no gain, and Marion takes over at its own 11 with a minute 9 to play first half.
Yeah, I'm sure that the coaching staff would like to have that play called back because One thing we don't do as well as we have in the past, even with some teams that aren't as good as this year's Silver Streaks, we had some guys sometime that could really run up the middle and get that extra yard or two with people hanging on them. We don't have that guy this year. And in a short yardage situation like that, Morin was very sheepish when he got to the line. There was no way that play was going anywhere. We probably should have gone outside.
Out of the shotgun snap, rolling to the outside and throwing to the far side of the field. It's complete. Stumbling, diving, and falling toward the sideline is Seth Bayer after the catch. And he's a yard short of the first down. Or are they going to move the chains? The chain gang's ready to move. So it'll be first down from the 21. He got a gain of right at 10 yards. Not many completions in this first half for Isaac Baker, but that was a big one there. And they are obviously even deep in their own territory, not even considering just laying down and going into the locker room as the pass goes to the outside. Brandon Ziegler hustling to the Galesburg sideline, knocked out of bounds, stopping the clock with just under a minute to play in the first half. And in two plays, they've already moved it up to the 28-yard line.
Yeah, a little surprised. I thought with that little time left, they would probably be content to just chew a little clock.
So from their own 28, Baker rolling left, has Clay coming up from the backside, throws it downfield. It's overthrown, and a pass interference call will be against the Silver Streaks as Seth Bayer, moving down the far side of the field close to the 50-yard line, got held from behind as he was trying to break free. And Myler and Tyree Mitchell are on the far side of the field talking things over there. Myler doing a little coaching as to what went wrong there. And the 15-yard penalty is going to move Marion farther upfield. Actually going to be in Galesburg territory after this. It was at the 28. It should be at the 43.
Well, I thought the receiver sold that pretty well because he was flopping all over with arms and legs like somebody just attacked him over there.
Now they're going to put it at the 46, apparently.
But they got what they wanted. And
yep.
Marion now, rather than just going in with a 7-6 lead with half a minute left near midfield and wanting more.
Eighth Galesburg penalty for 66 yards. The pocket collapses,
there
and there's a tackle in the backfield, and a late flag comes in after the sack was made by the Silver Streaks. Was that Pettis who got him?
Yep, Pettis got him. Good athletic play by Pettis. Brought him down from behind. Now we've got to sort out the
flag. A face mask against the Silver Streaks. I don't think that could have been Pettis because he took him down from the backside.
No.
So is this incidental? The sack.
This officiating crew's getting paid by the flag, I think, today. They've got their quota already, I'm sure,
yeah,
and the first half
it,
isn't over.
That moves it into Galesburg territory at the 48-yard line. So it's first and five. 71 yards in penalties against the Silver Streaks, 65 against Marion. 48 seconds to go first half. Wildcats leading 7-6, and apparently with every intention of going for more here. Rolling to the near side. Now throwing back across the middle of the field and overthrows the intended receiver who was... well, maybe open downfield. Streaks had it pretty well defended in man coverage, but a high pass stops the clock with 42.5 seconds to go.
Well, I think the intention was there to get the defense all looking toward the sideline, and then the quarterback of the last second looked over the middle, thought he could find Aaron Porter breaking free, but Silver Streaks' defense wasn't having any part of that. Porter was double covered right up the middle. And so here we go now with the second down with 42 seconds left.
Isaac Baker 5 for 12 with two interceptions in this first half. And up the middle it goes. Running room for Marion with a first down across the Galesburg 40. Ziegler down to the 38-yard line will stop the clock and at 35 seconds to move the chains.
Well, Dalton Ramsey came in and got a hand on him and slowed him down a little bit behind the line of scrimmage. Caleb Clay gets the tackle for the Silver Streaks, and now we've got a timeout on the field.
Well, I wondered at what point Marion, and they've been throwing since the drive started back at their own 11. They got the defensive stop as Galesburg went for it on fourth down. So you got to remember, this drive started back at the 11 with just over a minute to go, and every play has been through the air up to that point. With all their timeouts remaining, I figured at some point they're going to have to mix it up and go on the ground just to try to keep the Streaks off balance and show them a different look. And there it was, and they picked up 10 out of it and now use the first timeout with 35 seconds to go, leading 7-6. Have some early candidates for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Players of the Game here, Jim. Certainly we think of a couple of interceptions by the Silver Streaks. I'm still liking the Caleb Clay block and the Kelly return for the Streaks touchdown, but we'd love to think that there will be a much more impactful Crunch Time Player of the Game still to come on down the line here.
Yeah, because if that's it, we probably don't score again and we drop the game. So let's hope that that isn't the Crunch Time Play of the Game, although it was a key one early on for Galesburg. And as we've said, Nick Myler probably figures into the discussion with some of his catches.
Back to pass. Here comes the rush. He gets the pass away with almost down in the backfield, and it's caught at the 33-yard line. And then Dylan Simpson advances it forward close to the first down marker. He was almost down in the backfield, because I think it was Jason Kelly who came in and got him, and then they end up completing it for 7 yards anyway. So second and three with 29 and a half seconds to go from the Galesburg 32. To the right side, the pass goes this time, and another completion, trying to go upfield. Positive yardage before the Streaks finally are able to push Jaden Lacey out of bounds all the way down at the 11-yard line.
And I don't think the coaching staff isn't very happy. A lot of arm tackles that time. They didn't just get their body and bump him out of bounds. He was able to pick up another 8 or 10 yards as he fended off Silver Streak tacklers. With 22 seconds left, the ball now on the 11-yard line.
Well, it was a pretty sneaky move by Lacey, because his body language indicated like he might just step out of bounds, and then he cut upfield. Now Baker to the far side, and he overthrows against his body, and pretty good arm there that he still overthrew Seth Bayer on the far side about halfway, 5 yards deep into the end zone. And kid's got an arm, doesn't he?
Yep.
11 seconds is where the clock stops.
And he really looks over the field. He's got a number of options every time he drops back. So we're hoping the Silver Streaks defense can stiffen just like Marion's did. You know, it wasn't just on the clock a minute and a half ago. We were down on their 10-yard line threatening to take the lead and then couldn't make it on downs. They've moved it all the way down to the same position here. And let's hope the Silver Streaks defense can make a couple of plays here and keep them out of the end zone.
Actually, I think that clock says 17.7, not 11.7.
Oh, you're right.
Wishful thinking, I guess, right? Here's Baker rolling left. Good protection on the run, throws to the far side, and he overthrows Seth Bayer on the far side, again heading toward the corner of the end zone. And Bayer was open. He's not a big guy, listed at 5'11", but I don't know, maybe that pass was higher than it looked from up here. I thought, Jim, if he got his hands up there, he might have had a chance at it.
I think that wind kind of sailed it again on him there. We'll take another timeout with Marion here. You know, if I'm Marion, well, I guess the ball's over here on the right hash mark. What has worked well for them several times, including the big play, was to roll Ziegler out of the backfield.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most coaches, I mean, if something's working, they're going to make you stop it, especially in a key situation. But with this timeout on the field, I would guess that Coach Doherty and staff will probably be well aware of that possibility, although they'd have to work it the other direction than what they've come right both times with Ziegler before. They'd have to go left if they want to do that this time.
Again, with a minute 9 remaining in the first half, this drive started back at the Marion 11-yard line. The Wildcats have taken it down to the Galesburg 10. Baker 4-for-7 passing on the drive with 44 yards. Ziegler has a 10-yard run. And then there's 20 yards in Galesburg penalties that have been added on here as well that have not helped, including the big 15-yard personal foul penalty.
They could still run Ziegler right, but when you're on the right hash mark, it really narrows the width of the field over here. We'll see what they decide to do. Of course, they've got the wind at their back. If they get to fourth down, they might kick a field goal.
True. 13.3 seconds remaining. Empty backfield with Baker taking the snap, rolling left to the far side of the field with time, makes the completion to Seth Bayer. He's taken down short of the first down marker. And are they going to say he was out of bounds? Apparently they do. The clock stopped at 8 seconds.
Brings up an interesting call for Marion. What do they do here?
Baker's holding his hands together like maybe he's thinking about a timeout. But there's some personnel change out on the field, and now they are going to talk it over. They did have one timeout remaining, so they are going to go ahead and talk it over. Now, I would think, Jim, based on what we saw from the kicker on the extra point and on his kickoff, 3 points seems like...
Well, it would be pretty much a sure thing, I think, unless you had a bad snap. But,
I mean, you know, 4 points, I guess it gets you enough of a lead that a field goal can't tie it. So from a strategic point looking long term, I guess that's you never want to discount points.
No, but at the high school level, the field goal usually isn't as big a factor as it would. If this is the NFL,
certainly.
I think they just take the three.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because you got kickers that can kick the thing, 50 and 55 yards. At the high school level, more often than not, if there is a reasonable chance that they could make the first down or the touchdown, they will go for that. That would be my hunch for Marion right here.
Ball's because at the three, it would only be a 20-yarder.
Yeah. Well, and like you noted, they took their last timeout. I think they would have liked to have, if you get a play off there and you don't score but you get the first down, you can take a timeout and still run another play. They don't have that option unless it's an incomplete pass turns the ball over on fourth down. So
right.
It pretty well rides on this play one way or the other.
Yeah, this does not look like a field goal unit coming out. This looks like a go for it, just as you had anticipated. So they're huddling up with 8 seconds to go, right before halftime. Fourth and two from the Galesburg three. The snap, the handoff to Ziegler to the outside, cuts up toward the middle. Did he get it? He did. He got down low. His body did not get into the end zone, but apparently he got the ball forward enough to get the end zone. And Marion takes a 13-6 lead with an extra point coming.
Yeah, Ziegler is a nice high school runner. Like you said, he runs low. He's only 5'8", but rather stocky. Listed at 190. I'm not sure he's quite that heavy, but not only does he run low, he really knows how to follow his guys up front, and they were just able to open enough ground. I thought maybe he got just the first down, but not the touchdown, but they gave it to him at the line.
So the drive started with just over a minute to go, and they took it 89 yards, using two timeouts along the way, using the sideline to stop the clock. A terrific drive by Marion, and they take a full touchdown lead with 4 seconds to go in the first half.
Well, I never would have believed they would have been able to do what they did without some bigger plays than they did. What was their longest play on that drive?
Probably the 20-yard pass, I would say, to Lacey. But again, you had a couple of Galesburg penalties in there that added 20 yards onto it, and that certainly hurt.
And they managed the clock very well. That was an impressive finish to the half by Marion.
And scored on a do-or-die play at the end, too. It was fourth down. You're either going to score or not with all your timeouts gone, and kept it on the ground. So if they keep him out of the end zone, Marion, I suppose if you move the chains, if they get a first down at the one, I suppose you might have enough time to run one more play. But it was high risk, high reward, and they have an 8-point lead right before halftime here.
Yep. Well, they've earned the lead. They had some penalties early. They have kept theirs down, and the Silver Streaks have had some key wins here that haven't helped, both offensively and defensively. But it's still just going to be a one-touchdown game at halftime with a conversion. You're still tied if you do that.
10 plays, 89 yards. They took a minute 5 off the clock, and they leave the Streaks with 4 seconds, 3.7 officially, to do something with this kickoff, which goes low, skimming across the middle of the field. Silver Streaks will scoop it up by Caleb Play at the 27, running to the outside, avoids one tackle. Now wrapped up and taken down at the 25 with a flag down at the far side of the field. Let's see what that is. Yeah. With Marion with 8 penalties in this game and the Silver Streaks with 9, why not finish with a flag, right? It's not going to matter, whatever it is. Everybody's heading to the end zone. It was against the Silver Streaks, and it was declined. We'll talk with Brad Gross, head coach of the Galesburg girls golf team here at halftime. Silver Streaks trail Marion 14-6. You're listening to Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streak Football and WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts. Next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing. Best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at courtrightconstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Psst, you.
Yeah, you. If you're hearing me right now and you've got job openings, just think of the thousands of prospective candidates that can hear me too. I'm sending you and them to Galesburg.info keyword jobs, talking to people at work, home, and play. That's the power of radio.
The official WGIL forecast, sunshine, the high near 65 this afternoon. It'll be clear tonight. Look for a low near 44. Sunny 72 Sunday. Clear and 52 tomorrow night. Monday, sunshine. The high 78. Clear and 60 Monday night. Tuesday, sunny at 83. Partly cloudy 61 Tuesday night. By Wednesday, sunny at 84. Right now it is 65 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Back to Silver Streaks football.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS Halftime Report on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football, and let's turn our attention to Silver Streaks girls golf with head coach Brad Gross. And Brad, you, like everybody else, I'm sure, happy to see the change in the weather this week. The sun came out late in the week, and the cooler temperatures came, and so you're ready for a big one this weekend.
Yeah, we are. We're ready. You know, we go down to Bloomington for a tough tournament, a lot of state powerhouse golf teams down there. We've had some nice weather here for practice, and we've also had some, you know, a little bit chilly, windy days, which is nice for the girls, because if they can play in that weather, they can play in anything. So we've been, the last 2 weeks, really been grinding it out of practice.
And this has been an interesting stretch for you, because many times you're in the heart of busy schedules with three tournaments a week, and you haven't played competition for a while, have you?
No, we haven't played for 2 weeks. We played three invites already and four, you know, nine-hole matches in a span of 2.5 weeks there right at the beginning of school, which was nice. So the girls got to get out and, after playing all summer, see their success from the summer transfer into the playing with the girls on the team, and we've done well.
Of course, Kirsten Osborne and Taylor Nesselrode leading you day in and day out, and it's so nice for any golf team to have that front one, especially two. That guarantees you a pretty good score if somebody else can come up with a good day.
Yeah, but after those two, we've got five girls that are just, you know, and, you know, I can only play six, but I've got seven just phenomenal golfers. And so those bottom four, really, any day could anybody, any single one of them, including all top seven, are capable of shooting in the 80s any day of the week. So it's exciting to see the scores come in at the end of the tournaments.
Yeah, go ahead and mention the rest of the team for us.
We have sophomore Riley Chalkley, who's been playing pretty solid in the number three spot. She's shot in the 80s every tournament we've played, 87, 88. So she's playing really well golf. Jenna Heck, senior, she's doing really well. She's capable of playing some really good golf. Then we got Jessica Sparks and Alexis Bush and Maitland Sanders. Those are the other three that pretty much, between those three, it's take your pick who's on, who's, I mean, those three are, it brings a new aspect to our team, because we have such tight competition for those spots on the weekend that it really amps up their game and practice and the matches, and it really helps out our team, and it helps out the girls, you know, that competition is a good thing for us this year.
Yeah. Now you practice most of the time out at Bracken. Do you have you played pretty much exclusively out here, or have you moved around these couple of weeks without competition?
No, we've been out here every single day. We're hosting the regional out here on October 7th, so, you know, we try to get out here and play holes and practice as much as possible, because this is where we're hosting the regional, and, you know, we want to show the rest of the state going into sectional that we're a force to be reckoned with.
What's the strength of this team? Anything particular off the tee, on the green, or is it just all around a good feel for how to play the game of golf up and down the holes?
Right now we're pretty unbelievable off the tee. We can crush the ball pretty far and pretty straight. I mean, the girls are usually farther than all their opponents they play. Their iron game is spot on. If they miss the green, it's 2 to 3 feet to the right or left. It's pretty good.
I wish I had that.
I know. And where we're struggling right now is putting and chipping, and that's what we've been kind of focusing on the last couple of weeks in practice. And I've seen a lot of good improvements, so I'm excited to see what comes this weekend.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose you as a, I guess, a coach of any sport, but especially in golf, if they've had some good instruction coming up with their parents or coaches when they're young, it makes your job so much easier. You're not having to give them fundamentals. They're trying to fine-tune what they already know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm no golf professional. I don't, you know, I didn't know much about golf when I started teaching. I never, you know, didn't really start picking it up until I started teaching. And then this came open. I've learned a lot from the girls, actually. But it's, it's pretty, they, I mean, they know what they're doing. What I'm, I'd like to say my strength for them is when we have those bad holes, I'm pretty good at getting their morale back up to forget, have the short memory, forget what they just did and move on to the next hole.
As you look forward, you mentioned regional first week in October. It just the season, especially when you've had a layoff like this, it really winds up quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. We're going to be hitting it pretty hard and heavy here the last about 6 weeks. We got a lot of great invites we're going to. The teams we're going to see this weekend. Rochester beat us at our last invite. They're the only team to beat us out of about 44 teams on duels and invites. So they're the only team to beat us that we've seen out of those 44. You've got a lot of good schools down there. Then the weekend after that, we'll be going down to Hickory Point where the state golf tournaments play. And then we'll go to Champaign and play the U of I Blue course. We have our own home invite that we host. That's some pretty good teams. So we have to drive a little bit to play the competition, but it's worth it.
Do you make out that schedule, or you just sit down with the athletic director and try and find that demanding schedule that will allow you to maybe be a factor at the state?
What I did 2 years ago, because I knew I had this just phenomenal junior class, after my first year coaching and had a feel for it, I sat down and looked at, you know, the Loyola Academy and the new Trier, and I looked at their golf schedule, like, you know, U High and Sigourney Griffin. I looked where they were going, and I talked to our AD, and I said, you know, I want to try and get in those tournaments if we can, because I believe there were only about 3 18-hole matches when I took over, and we're gone about every Saturday now. So I think we got about 9 or 10 invites that we play during the season. So it gets us ready for the run at the end of the season, playing 18 holes, you know, back-to-back days at state or regional sectionals, usually only a few days apart. So it gets us ready, you know, stamina-wise, that we're ready to go.
Like we talked, the difference in courses, but you mentioned also you like some different weather, because when you get to state, you never know what you're going to play in it. And unless it's a lightning storm or a heavy rain, you've got to play through what can be some tough conditions. And I guess the girls have to be able to put that out of their mind and just play their game.
Yeah, that's right. If it's, you know, if it's a crummy day, you know, you can bet we're probably out here hitting golf balls, because that's how we're going to get better playing in that weather. And that's what we got to get used to, because the weather turns pretty quick. You never know when it's going to turn and what's going to happen. So, you know, living here in Illinois where we do, so it's nice to get that practice in on days like that.
How about in the Western Big Six? Any challenges there for you?
I hate to say, but there's really not. Moline, probably. We've played them in a duel, beat them by about, it was maybe about 20 or 30, but, you know, they're not. They've got two really good golfers, but nobody has the depth that we have in the Western Big Six. So it'll be a good tune-up match at the end of the year to get ready for everything beyond that.
How many years now at the helm here, Brad?
This is my third year.
Yeah. And enjoying it, sounds like.
It's a blast to tell everybody at work, oh, you have fun, I'm heading to the golf course.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it's funny because you mentioned, we were talking a little before this, and you said Taylor Nesser wrote, he said she is just so knowledgeable about a lot of what she's doing out there, and comes from a golfing family. Of course, her brother Hunter with a great career for the Silver Streaks, and that's, it's got to be a bonus for you to be able to have somebody on the course like that really just understands the game so well.
Yeah, she's just a solid and great person all around. The girls really circle around her and really listen to her when she's helping them out, because, I mean, she knows way more than I know about the game of golf. She's played since she was about 4 years old. She's just got a phenomenal talent, and she loves to share that with the girls, and that makes us that much better as well.
Yeah. What do you know, if anything, about the college plans? Any of these girls looking to golf in college, I would guess?
Not that I know of yet. I got it. You know, I tell them any college coach you want me to pick up the phone and call, I'll call. So I'll be working with Jenna Heck a little bit and see if that's what she wants to do or where she wants to go. So it's still early, but yeah, it'd be nice to, you know, have a few go on and play. You know, we got Jordan Kohler down in Illinois Wesley, and Olivia Livingston is at Sandberg. So the two seniors we had on the team last year are playing collegiately. So that's nice, and I'd like to keep that tradition going.
Yeah, and I see, of course, Jordan was playing well at the All-City thing, so she's kept it up.
Oh, she has. I joked with her before she left for college. I said, how come you didn't play this well last summer so we could have had you all fall like that? So, yeah, but I'm excited for her, and she's going to have a great career down there.
Well, I suppose having a fall sport, you know, for those that are seniors, there's not that much pressure yet. They can really focus on what they're doing. I know sometimes some of the winter or spring sports, they've got to make that decision before they go on, but here I guess they can really focus on what they're doing.
Yeah, it's not – I mean, beautiful weather, come out here, play. I mean, school just started, so it's not really – heavy loads have started yet. I mean, they put a lot of focus in golf. They're usually – if we're not playing – on a Saturday, which is it's rare if that happens, like last Saturday was one, they're out playing. You know, they went and played our sectional course for practice round. A couple of them went twice this past weekend. Usually if there's no school, they're out here. So they take it in their own initiative to make themselves better.
Yeah, they usually just warm up for a while on the driving driving tee and then go play nine? They play 18 at practice. What do they usually do?
No, we usually just play nine sometimes at practice. We've played a lot recently in these 2 weeks because we haven't got to play. Or, you know, we'll be on the putting green or we'll go over to the practice hole and work on little things. But it's kind of – the girls get scattered once we get warmed up. You know, maybe four or five will go out and play. Two or three will be here on the putting green and three more at the chipping green. So it's I'm pretty busy running around trying to keep tabs on them all at practice, but they know what they're doing and they know what they need to work on and where they need to be. So I'm pretty blessed with this group.
Yeah. You ever throw balls down on the green and say, okay, pressure's on, tournament's on the line, who can nail this putt?
Well, actually, last week I put a tee down and I said, okay, whenever you make a putt from here, because it was so hot last week, I said, whenever you make your putt, you can go home. I put the pressure on. Yeah, no, we have a lot of fun, you know, things like that. I chip with them over on the practice green. Anybody that makes it in the hole past about 20 yards gets a Dairy Queen gift card, or you know, if I'll put one up there real close, I'll say, oh, you got to get better, closer to me, which doesn't happen often. They always beat me, so it's we have fun at practice.
Yeah, well, sounds good. I mean, like you say, the football players are out there sweating it out in 2-a-days, and to come out to the golf course is a little bit more relaxed, I think.
It is. It's nice, you know. It's pretty fun. It's a good job. I love coaching the girls, and we have a lot of fun.
All right, Coach, thanks for your time. I know you need to get to practice here, and best wishes. I'm sure you're going to have a great year.
Thank you.
All right, Brad Gross, head coach of the Galesburg Silver Streaks girls golf team here at the Silver Streaks football halftime. Back with more from Van Dyke Field after this on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Don't miss a thing. Stay connected every hour on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg's news.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carol McHugh. The raging Butte Fire is burning out of control in Northern California, which may force thousands of area residents from their homes.
We do have about 6,000 homes that are affected by this fire, whether they're under voluntary or mandatory evacuations. We are looking at over 10,000 people that are potentially affected by the fire.
CAL FIRE spokesperson Lynn Tolmachoff, more than 65,000 acres north of Sacramento have been scorched. The steady flow of Mideast refugees into Europe growing as some nations are balking at taking in any more.
The European Commission announced plans for its member countries to split up at least 160,000 migrants and refugees. Hungary is reportedly preparing to shut down its border this week. And when asked by a German newspaper where the new arrivals should go, Hungary's hardline prime minister reportedly said, quote, back to where they came from.
Fox's John Huddy, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Looking to spruce up your kitchen, maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
It doesn't matter how good of a hitter you are, the only way to win games is to be part of a winning team. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy with Craddy Insurance, your Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Make sure your bases are covered with auto coverage that meets all your needs. We'll make sure you have a deductible you're comfortable with, so no matter what steps up to the plate, you're safe. And our auto home discount is a double play. Stop by Craddy Insurance on North Henderson Street and find out why Craddy and Rockford Mutual Insurance are a home run.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Halftime here at Van Dyke Field. Galesburg trailing Marion 14-6. Jim Lee heading back down to the field. We'll talk with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty here momentarily. Cardinals losing 5-1 in the ninth inning at Cincinnati. And the Fighting Illini were winners earlier today, 44-0 over Western Illinois. So we're trying to get the Silver Streaks to rally here in the second half. Jim will head down, find out what Coach Doherty has to say, and see how he plans to get his team turned around here. High school scores. Told you about a couple of other games that are going on a Saturday afternoon. Nothing from the Monmouth-Roseville-St. Joseph-Ogden game. West Hancock was a winner over at St. Louis area team that was playing. Cleveland NJROTC 45-0. And the Titans move to 3-0 there. And we'll try to get you an update on the Monmouth-Roseville-St. Joseph-Ogden game if we can get anything updated on that. Here, it's the Silver Streaks trailing Marion 14-6. Galesburg's only score of the game came on a blocked punt by Caleb Clay that was returned for a touchdown by the Silver Streaks' Jason Kelly. So no offensive scores for the Silver Streaks in this game. Marion, meanwhile, has scored on its last two offensive possessions after the Silver Streaks played pretty tough defense against them throughout the first 2.5 quarters. Marion put together a 13-play scoring drive with just under 10 minutes to go in the first half. Covered 80 yards in 4 minutes and 16 seconds. Braden Ziegler finished off the scoring drive with a 2-yard touchdown run. And then it was Ziegler again finishing off an 89-yard scoring drive that started with a 1:09 to go in the second quarter. And they moved it downfield using a couple of timeouts, using sideline plays, getting the ball out of bounds, a couple of Silver Streaks penalties, and Wildcats took 10 plays to move it 89 yards in 1:05. And again, it was Ziegler with a 2-yard touchdown run on fourth and everything, or fourth and nothing, as it was going to turn out. And he found the end zone, and 2 extra points have Marion on top, 14-6 here, because Galesburg, after the blocked punt for a touchdown, failed to convert on the extra point. And they will have the ball to start off the second half and see if they can't get some offense going. DeAndre Morin, the leading offensive player for the Silver Streaks, with 16 carries for 98 yards. And Tim Doherty is making his way over to Jim Lee. And let's find out what the Streaks talked about at halftime. Jim?
All right, Coach. These teams pretty evenly matched. Quite a drive there at the end that put us in a hole.
Yeah, we haven't helped ourselves. You know, we've had penalties that have killed our drives offensively. We were in the red zone 3 times. You can't let a team like that go down the field. I think it was an 80-yard drive, and it was bad defense. We just bad effort, bad understanding of what we needed to do in a drive like that.
Still right in the game, though. Offensively, how do we get a little more consistent movement of the ball?
Well, you know, penalties have killed us. You know, failure to convert on key situations, and then you get backed up. It's just, you know, you can't do that against, you know, anybody, let alone a quality opponent.
They roll the Ziegler kid out of the backfield. Hurt us a couple of times, too.
What's that?
The Ziegler kid, number 11, rolling him in pass formation. Seems like we've done a pretty good job of covering the downfield pass, but some of the shorter ones have hurt us.
Yeah, you know, quarterback's just a real heady kid. He knows how to hold the ball and get open, you know, find protection. So, you know, my worst fear was they were getting in that, you know, 2 tight end set and just kind of push us around those big bodies, and that's how they drove the first series. And then, you know, the second one was our fault. We just didn't play very smart defense.
Still right in it. Go get it.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, 4-6 is the score. Silver Streaks, as we talked about, trailing by just a touchdown. In a lot of ways, it seems like it's more.
Yeah, to hear Tim talk, I think you would have thought we were down by 3 or 4 scores. He was pretty frustrated, and obviously I'm sure the team got the brunt of that in there at halftime. And it's frustrating because, you know, a lot of what he talked about, the physical part of the game, I think we've answered the bell very well on, but it's just been those penalties and mistakes that have that have hurt us, and not only defensively, but he said on offense, you kind of forget that. We've moved the ball pretty well at times, but then we end up moving backwards because of the penalties.
And the Silver Streaks will have the ball to start the second half. They deferred after the toss and kicked off to start the game. And now they'll be receiving, moving right to left toward the field house, the north end, and into the breeze. So the Silver Streaks will have the breeze for the fourth quarter. And we'll see if we can't get that offense moving, get some positive things happening here to start off the second half. Silver Streaks in their 2 home games have given up touchdowns right before halftime in both of them that have put them in a deficit at the half. And 2 weeks ago, it ended up being costly. Let's see if they can turn it around and make it a positive here today and come out of here with a victory. Trailing by just a touchdown as the opening kickoff goes on a line drive down the middle of the field. It deflects off Caleb Kay. Nick Myler boots it, now picks it up at the 13. There's a big hole up the middle to the 30 and tripped up on what could have been a huge run back the way things had looked like it was developing. But Kevin Harmon came out of nowhere and got down low and knocked Myler down as he takes it back to the 35.
I can't think that kickoff was by design, although I don't know how you hit a ball like that accidentally, because we saw the kids got the leg to kick it clear out of the end zone with the wind at his back, and why they would let Myler take it, I don't know, but I'm glad they did. It got us 15 extra yards.
And I kind of wondered if maybe they were trying to keep it away from Morin and Myler down deep by kicking another line drive. Here's Ross after the fake. He'll keep it to the 45-yard line and feels his way up to the 48 before he's finally taken down in the midsection by Seth Bayer. Streaks disguise that very well and picked up 13 on first down.
Oh, and the blocking was so good for that. If Ross is lanky, he's not real fleet of foot. If you had a quarterback that was fast, he might have taken that all the way. I mean, he had a couple of blockers out here that held their block for a little while, but he just wasn't fast enough to be able to turn it inside and go. A little indecision on Ross's part, but still a first down.
His longest run of the season puts Galesburg near midfield. Handoff up the middle to Morin, stopped just short of the 50 by the pile of white jerseys. And DeAndre Morin, with the ball sitting just short of midfield, has hit 100 yards rushing for the game. And hopefully a lot more to come for the Streaks' leading ground game offensive player on the season. 17 carries for 100 yards. Just underway in quarter number three, Silver Streaks trail by 8. It's 14-6 Marion. Short drop by Ross. Swing pass to the outside. Caught there by Myler. Spins off a tackle and stopped just short of the first down marker and then pushed backwards. Good pass by Ross right into the midsection of Myler, who protected it, carried it well, and then got the extra 3 or 4 yards after the bounce off the defender to bring up third and one.
Yeah, Myler with those quick feet. He's just got that knack. He's a football player, and he's dangerous whenever he touches the ball and some pretty good speed on top of it. So the more times we can get it in the hands of number 21, the better off we are.
From the Marion 43-yard line. Played just about 2 minutes here in the second half, and the Streaks fumble the snap on what looked to be a quarterback sneak. And then Ross, sitting on his hind end, picked up the ball and tried to move it forward. And the officials, especially the referee coming in from the backside, saw very clearly that that wasn't going to play. And that's going to bring up fourth and a yard now. So another miscue by the Silver Streaks.
And not funny that that happened, but it was Ross. You know, his back was to the pile, and the ball was on the ground, and he reached back for the ball and then tried to take it forward with him. A really heady play, but the officials, like you said, he had his backside on the pile, so he's considered down, and they weren't going to let him get the first down.
So the Streaks will go for it on fourth and two. 0 for 2 on fourth downs in this game. The fake handoff on the keeper. Ross with a shovel pass forward to Bond, and he sidesteps a man after the completion, and he picks up a couple of extra yards to secure the first down to the 36.
Good choice by Ross. It's kind of an unconventional-looking little short shuffle pass. You might think, why bother? But he had one defender there that was trying to close, and so he got it off to the bigger guy. Bond gets the first down and did a nice job of not fumbling because Alex Childers came over, really drilled him from the backside. Some guys will cough that ball up, but Bond had it secured, and we got a first down.
Out of the snap. Ross again with a keeper. Tucks the ball in. Dragged down at the 30-yard line. He'll pick up 6 more. And Jacob Ross getting some ground yardage here as effectively as he has through the first 2.5 games this season in the Silver Streaks. 2nd and 4 from the Marion 30. ...14-6, Wildcats with the lead. We've played 3 minutes here in the second half. Silver Streaks only points on the game, a blocked punt return for a touchdown. So looking for their first offensive points of the game. Handoff goes up the middle to Morin, room to run, and he gets a first down across the 20, down close to the 18-yard line for a pickup of, the 23-yard line for a pickup of 7 more. Offensive line getting the job done here. Now this is where the Streaks' drives have started to stall out a little bit. First down for the Streaks from the 23. Ross in the shotgun. Fakes the handoff up the middle. He'll keep it again across the 20. Finds a hole to the 10-yard line. Over a man to the 5. Staggers into the end zone, and the Streaks are within 2.
Excellent job of blocking, too, by Myler on the inside. Got his man. I couldn't tell who else on the Silver Streaks was toward the sideline. Sealed his man off. Gave a nice channel for Ross to run through. One man got a hand on him. Ross shook him off and got into the end zone. And obviously, the Silver Streaks coaching staff and Tim Doherty figured some things out there in halftime play calling to get this drive right out of the gate and maybe tie this game up if we can get the 2-point conversion. Heck of a drive by the Silver Streaks and no penalties at all.
Absolutely. 8 plays. Streaks cover 65 yards. 41 on the ground by Jacob Ross, including the last 23 for the touchdown. And he also had a couple of pass completions for 15 yards. And now this will frustrate the coaching staff. Couldn't get communicated to the kids what they wanted to do here. Trailing by 2, so likely trying to set up the 2-point conversion to go ahead and just tie it up right here. But the kids weren't getting the signal, so they have to call a timeout.
And you might want that one back later, but if you're able to get this conversion, it's a timeout well used. You don't want to squander this because this has been a defensive struggle for the most part, and you don't know, you may not get another chance to be down here for a while, and you want to have your best chance to get that 2-point conversion and get this thing tied up. You know, it amazes me, though, I was standing here thinking when the teams were warming up the half, how big some of these kids are. When I was playing, if you had a line with a couple of guys that were, you know, good football players going 220, 225, now granted, this was small school, but nobody had guys that were, what do we got out here, 6'4", 330. Max Snell is 6'5", 305. And, I mean, it's not just them. The other guys aren't quite as tall, but you got kids, you know, we've heard a lot about Mac Ricketts, and he actually looks average size out there, and he's 6'4", 290. I mean, it's, whoo!
Yeah, we talked about how the Streaks have had one of their biggest offensive lines that they've had in quite some time. Got to do its job here, going for 2. Ross rolling out on the naked bootleg to the right. Now he's going to tuck it in, and he steps into the end zone to tie it up. 2-point conversion. We're knotted up at 14, and we've just started the second half. 8:23 to play third quarter. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's sweet. It's a treat. It's aromatic. It's taste buds ecstatic. It's so long summer and hello, tasty friend. It's like flying through a pumpkin patch on a leaf blower-powered hayride with a goat named Leche who escaped from the petting zoo. It's the scent of the season. It's the flavor of fall. The one, the only, the autumnal for all. It's the McCafe Pumpkin Spice Latte, and it's all these things all season long. Grab one today and let your pumpkin spice season begin at McDonald's. At participating restaurants, limited time only.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you by Two Painted Ladies, offering upcycled furniture and unique handcrafted gifts. By Animal Medical Center, providing the finest veterinary care possible. And by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Gillsburg. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Reds finish off, in some ways, a doubleheader sweep of the Cardinals. They finished off the suspended game with a 4-2 win earlier. They beat the Cardinals in the regularly scheduled game 5-1. Cubs and Pirates fans celebrate. A short kickoff taken by Marion here on the run at the 17-yard line. And the return made close to the 30 by Jaden Lacy. And Marion will have decent field position as the Wildcats get their first offensive possession of the second half here. 8:15 to go third quarter. Ball sitting at the 29.
Well, just after you said the Cardinals score, Greg Shire walked over and was smiling, and the Cub fan agreed with that. You don't mind your team struggling, but you really don't want it to happen in September.
Nope.
Silver Streak's not struggling, though. Heck of a drive. I'm just talking to Jay Barshinger down here.
That was great.
And he was all smiles, too. He said, that was sweet, wasn't it? I said, sure was. And you know, Ross running the ball, too, it gives Marion a few more things to worry about now because I don't think they really thought he would run it.
We haven't really seen Jacob run it all season long.
So, obviously, that's going to force the Wildcats to make some adjustments over there on the defensive sideline because he didn't just do it once. I mean, he was taking the opportunity every time they gave it to him.
4 carries.
So they're going to have to put somebody in charge of keeping him at home, and if you do that, then maybe you free up a few other opportunities. So Gelsberg right back in this with a beautiful opening drive.
Pickup of 3 on first down for Marion. Still going with that tucked-in offense that really helped get the Marion offense jump-started because they were having a hard time getting anything done. You might remember after the blocked punt, Jim, that led to the Gelsberg touchdown, their very next play from scrimmage was an interception. And then 3 plays later, when they got the ball back, they threw another interception. It was this formation as they forced an offsides by the Silver Streaks. that really has gotten this Marion offense jump-started. Yeah, so a team that can pass the ball has really gotten it done on the ground.
Now, with that size, you can't blame them for going that direction if they can.
Hand off to Ziegler, cuts back up the middle, dives forward to the 40.
Speaking of size, he ran into Larry Pettis. Gobbled him up there. About a first down.
Yep, picked up three for the first down after the offsides by the Silver Streak added five. Ziegler's been the guy for Marion. He has both of their touchdowns. 10 carries, 72 yards in this game. And the line packed in tight, and Baker, the quarterback, the left-hander, hands up off the middle, and a little bit of a hole there on the misdirection. Everybody was moving left, and instead they went to the handoff for Marion, tried to get Malcolm Berry to the right. But the Streaks defense read it very well, held him to a gain of two.
You know, this Marion team's had a record of success under Coach Kerry Martin, 10 straight years in the playoffs, which is awesome, but they've never gone very deep in the playoffs. I think they've never gotten to the quarterfinals that I could tell in the IHSA listing, so they usually get knocked out on the first or second round.
Well, talking to the broadcasters who followed their team up here, they're celebrating more than anything that Sacred Heart Griffin is going to be playing in 6A, because that's what they were saying. Year after year, they could never get anywhere because they kept running into them.
Yeah. Yeah, because Edwardville plays, but they're 7A, aren't they?
Yep.
So they don't, even though they're in the neighborhood, they don't deal with them.
Big gain of seven on second down brings up third and one for the Wildcats from just short of midfield at the 49. Tie ball game, and the handoff up the middle. And then bouncing to the outside is Ziegler, and his knee came down. He didn't think his knee touched, but the knee came down right at the 48. The side judge was very emphatic on the call, but he picks up three for the first down. He was ready to go for more. And the Wildcats move the chains on a third down conversion. Sure hear Jay Barshinger up here from up here, Jim, with your sideline, Mike. There's a good read by the Galesburg defense, and maybe they heard Jay, too. I think that was Pettis who got in and wrapped around from the backside and stopped the play before it got started. They're actually going to lose a yard on first down.
Well, it is interesting. They have really gone into this fairly conservative, tight run inside behind your big boys mode, even with the quarterback with a pretty good arm, and they've had a little passing success. I think now you get into second and long, though, we may see them open it up a little bit.
Most of their passing success was on that drive to end the first half. Flushed out of the pocket, steps up, throws the ball away. The Galesburg sideline wants a flag down. They want the quarterback to be in the grasp as he threw the ball away to really nobody at the 50-yard line, and the officials are just going to call it an incomplete pass.
Yeah, the coaching staff, to a man, was freaking out on the sideline here. I told you Tim Doherty's usually pretty analytical but quiet, but he's not. After that one, he wanted the intentional grounding. I can't blame him there. There was a white jersey within 10 yards of that ball that I could see.
Well, I mean, he was trying to get out of the pocket, but I don't think he got out of the tackle box either, and that would be the other thing to keep in mind.
Yep.
All right, so third and 11 after the loss of one on first down and the incompletion on second down. Now they do open the spread out a little bit. Here comes the pressure, and he's tripped up in the backfield and knocked down. Nick Myler came right up the middle, and Baker tried to sidestep him, and Myler got just enough to knock him off balance.
Man, he's just a good football player. You saw him coming with the blitz, timed it pretty well. Even with the deep drop, the quarterback already back there in the shotgun, and he just tried to move left and sidestep Myler, but Nick reaches that right arm out there and is strong enough to just trip him up enough to foil the play, and a huge play for the Silver Streaks.
Talked about a deep drop, Jim. How about a loss of 12? That takes it back to the Marion 39, and a quick kick away as the Galesburg Streaks had the rush on, and Myler has to let it roll, and a good Marion roll down to the 21-yard line. Despite the rush and despite the quick kick, I think the Wildcats got as best they could get out of that as they could have hoped, and the Streaks take over, 4:28 to go here in the third quarter in a tie ball game.
Yeah, he kicked it farther than Nick Myler thought that he would. It went over Nick's head, and he was thinking about going back and picking it up, but the tacklers were closing in quickly enough. You might have heard the assistant coaches, especially Jay Downer, just yelling, get away, get away.
Sure did.
They didn't want a turnover after the defense had done such a great job to get a stop there. But now you got a long way to go starting at the 16. But, hey, the game is tied. It's been all ours in the third quarter. Let's go ahead and do it again.
So they net 45 on that punt. Jacob Ross in the three-step snap drop. Handoff up the middle to Morin. Picks up a couple.
Morin runs into senior defensive lineman Eli Barber, 5'10", 315 pounds.
19th carry of the game for DeAndre Morin for 109 yards. He's the leading offensive player for either team. Braden Ziegler has 81 yards on the ground for Marion. Second and eight for the Silver Streaks. Ball just short of the 19-yard line. Handoff again to Morin. Sidesteps to the left this time. Gets past one man and a second man. Breaks free to the 30. Dragged down from behind across the 35-yard line. Not very good tackling by Marion and good elusiveness by Morin to take it all the way up to the 38-yard line for a gain of 20.
Yeah, really good balance by Morin that time because he broke the tackle of Hunter Milligan, who arguably is their best defender. I mean, the guy's all over the field. He's quick. He made a number of big plays in the first half, and he had a one-on-one shot at Morin and could not bring DeAndre down, and then he slides off and finishes well. Again, they were trying to strip that ball out of there, but he had it tucked away well in the streaks of the big first down.
From the 38-yard line of the Silver Streaks, Ross under center, fakes the handoff, rolls to the outside on play action, finds Myler in the flat, steps forward into first down territory, crosses the 50 to the Marion 47-yard line for a gain of 15 more.
This is nice. I love the play calling here in this third quarter. We're using the entire width of the field, and I kind of had the feeling in that first half, outside of maybe a couple of spots on the field, I thought we were a faster team side to side. And now we're using that, and every time we're running wide, we've got that option to run the ball or make a short pass. A lot of weapons we're using right now to move this ball.
Ross, 3-for-6 passing in the first half for 29 yards, 3-for-3 for 30 yards here in the second half. And here's Morin again up the middle. First down to the Marion 35 to the 34-yard line for a gain of 13 more as Morin went right through a hole up the middle of the field.
And when you're successful going wide, you get the other team thinking that you're going that way, and then all of a sudden you can make some room up the middle that you might not have had before. So got the Marion defense back on its heels. Let's just keep attacking, Silver Streaks.
Jacob Carl splits out wide to the right. He's not been much of a target in this game so far. The I formation lined up behind Ross, who comes under center, goes to Morin again, trying to find a hole up the middle to the right side of the line. Patient run yields maybe a couple as the Marion defense stood up to that charge. They're going to spot the stick forward to the 32 for a gain of 2. But, you know, when you're keeping the defense on the field, you don't have to pick up 8, 10, 12 yards every single play. Keeps your offense out there for a while, keeps the defense backpedaling, keeps the clock moving with 2:10 to go in the third quarter.
Well, when you avoid penalties, you don't get into those second and third long situations. You know, then you have options offensively. Ooh, that wasn't good.
Hand off to Morin, and Marion read that one perfectly. That was Chance Hilliard who rode him up from the top down. Morin does get back to the line of scrimmage, so it now does bring up third and eight. Ball spotted at the Marion 32-yard line.
And I got to think, ball over on the right hash mark. We've had success rolling Ross this way in this half with a run-pass option. I got to think that's probably where we're headed again.
Streaks had a fourth down conversion on the first drive of the second half. Here's Ross rolling out on the bootleg to the left.
Yes.
Myler open for the touchdown. Wide open in the end zone, and the Streaks take the lead on a 32-yard touchdown pass.
Ooh, you can see that develop as Ross came rolling this side and he saw Myler break out there. All he had to do was throw it on a line on the money, and you knew Nick was going to catch it, and 6 points, Galesburg. Woohoo!
Ross, 4-for-4 passing in this half now for 62 yards. And Nick Myler, after two touchdowns last week, with the 32-yarder here, puts Galesburg up by 6. A minute 21 to go, third quarter. The line drive extra point kick is good. Silver Streaks lead at 21-14 Let's take a break. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
CASA, Galesburg Community Chorus, St. Vincent de Paul, and the Knox Prairie Community Kitchen all received $100 from Hometown Hundreds, courtesy of F&M Bank and Galesburg.info. You too can nominate your favorite charity by visiting Galesburg.info, keyword hundreds.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
Silver Streak had no offensive points in the first half. They have two possessions here in the third quarter, an eight-play scoring drive of 65 yards and a Jacob Ross 23-yard touchdown run, and now a seven-play scoring drive that covers 84 yards in 3 minutes, 7 seconds. Ross with a 32-yard touchdown pass to Cody Myler, and Anderson's extra point puts Galesburg on top now 21-14 with a minute 21 to go in the third quarter. It's been a totally different half for the Silver Streaks, who line drive the kick down the middle of the field, taken on a couple of bounces by Lacey at the 15-yard line, up the middle of the field, and stopped dead at the 32-yard line.
You know, it's interesting. In the NFL, if you tell a defense what's coming, they're probably going to stop it. But I've seen so many times in high school where you pretty well know what's coming, but so many times you can't stop it. And I thought that third down touchdown was maybe they weren't necessarily thinking the pass to Miter, but there really wasn't much question on third and eight. We weren't going to run it into the line again. We weren't going to go to the right side, the short side of the field. We were going to bring Ross out here, see what he could make happen. Sure enough, he did. They didn't bring any pressure at all. He had time to find his man. They couldn't stop it.
All right, so they go back to the wide-open formation. Three wideouts to the left, two to the right. One man comes back, and it's a fumble after the reception, and the Streaks have it. Tyree Mitchell falls on it. Galesburg recovers at the Marion 34.
Wow, big hit that time, and this team looks so rejuvenated coming out of that locker room at halftime. Two touchdowns, two offensive possessions, a stop, and now a quick turnover forcing the fumble on the big hit, and this team is electric on the sidelines right now.
Fourth Marion turnover, a blocked punt, two interceptions, and now a pass completion and a fumble. Tyree Mitchell came up out of the defensive secondary and dives on it, and the Streaks are in business again at the 34-yard line with a minute 10 to go here in the third quarter. Up the middle goes Ross to the 25, into the secondary, dragged down inside the 20-yard line. A first down to the Marion 19 after a gain of 14.
Well, Marion's still trying to adjust the fact that the Galesburg quarterback, who really hadn't run the ball at all this year, is all of a sudden another major threat coming out of that backfield.
Four carries in the second half for 55 yards, including a touchdown. And the Streaks down inside the 15-yard line, close to the 10, as Morin is wrapped up and rolled down at the 12 for a gain of seven more.
We're doing all of this into the wind now with 40 seconds left in the quarter. We'll have the wind at our back in the fourth quarter. Hopefully we'll be up two scores here if we keep rolling.
Clock rolling, 35 seconds to go, third quarter. Up the middle again to Morin, tries a sidestep right inside the 10, moves the pile forward to the 9-yard line for a gain of three more, and very close to a first down. It should be enough to move the chains. And there goes the Sticks inside for a first and goal for the Silver Streaks at the 9.
This game has certainly been a good test for the Galesburg offensive line. We talked about how big we are up front, but these guys for Marion, pretty good size themselves, especially that nose guard. He's been a ton.
20 seconds to go, third quarter. A little miscommunication on the handoff. They do make the connection, Ross to Morin, but DeAndre's wrapped up right away by Tommy Wilson. Actually gets forward progress to, what, the 7? And that'll be the last play of the third quarter. And what a quarter it was for the Galesburg Silver Streaks. Two touchdowns, a two-point conversion. They shut out Marion, force a turnover, and we go to the fourth quarter with the Streaks. A second and goal upcoming and leading now 21-14. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
People who insist that it doesn't matter who does your screen printing have lower standards than you. You know what you want. You know what you expect. Clean lines, artistic designs, quality materials that players will actually want to wear. Screen-printed sportswear like that comes from Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Soft, comfortable fabrics, bright, bold colors, crisp school logos that profess your loyalty loud and proud. Find everything you need on and off the field at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee. Everything sports.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
With two touchdowns, a two-point conversion, they outscore the Marion Wildcats 15-0 in the third quarter and now have the ball second and goal at the Marion 7 as we get ready to start the fourth quarter.
Well, through the first 2 weeks of the football season, Jacob Ross had 8 yards rushing. And he is, through the first half of this one, hadn't done a whole lot.
Had zero, yeah.
But
5 carries. For 55 yards and a touchdown in the third quarter.
Well, and you know, it's one of those things you don't want to overplay your hand because you don't want to get your quarterback out there taking too many hits. But when you add that weapon in, it has certainly made the Marion defense think twice, and the Streaks looking for that second go-ahead score.
Ross with the rollout to the right after the fake handoff back across the middle. Oh, he had a man open in the end zone, I think was Morin, and he underthrew him.
Is Clay, actually.
Okay, would have been a touchdown if he'd have found the mark.
Yep.
It'll bring up third and goal from the 7.
Well, and for as much as the players have done a good job executing, you got to be pleased with what the coaching staff has been able to come up with here, because they have everything they have touched so far in the second half has turned to gold, and let's see if we can't get it done again here on third down and goal from the 7.
Talked about Ross rushing the ball in the second half. That was his first incompletion of the second half. Third and goal from the 7. Morin up the middle. Hit at the 5-yard line and pushed backward for a short gain. And decision time for the Silver Streaks with the wind at their back.
I think he kicked a field goal.
Anderson has the leg for it. It would make it a 2-possession game.
Yeah, it would be a short field goal, and it would put you up 10 points.
About a 22-yarder is what it would be with the stick just short of the 5-yard line.
Here he comes.
And he's sending him out.
Yeah, if the ball's at the inside the 3, I probably go for the 6. But with the 5-yard line, and especially with this guaranteeing, making them have at least 2 scores here in the fourth quarter, yeah, I like this. Let's knock it through here, Joe.
Well, you've got some momentum, too, if you can keep it going. Good snap. Hawkins gets the hold down. The kick looks beautiful. It's good. 22-yard field goal by Anderson. Silver Streaks now lead by 10 with just over 11 minutes to go in the game. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Menards is where you always save big money on top quality products for your home. Save big on carpet, laminate, vinyl, and more styles of flooring at super low prices. Give any room a great new look with Great Lakes Hardwood Flooring. They offer the warm, natural beauty of wood and feature a 50-year finish warranty. 3-inch pre-finished honey or red oak is $369 a square foot, and 4-inch solid hickory flooring is $529 a square foot.
Save big money at Menards.
Whether it's with eeny, meeny, miny, moe, or a vast knowledge of football stats, pick your teams now for a chance to win with this week's Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Jim Lee pointing out, and my error on not paying more attention, I thought Anderson looked awfully small running out there onto the field. That's because it wasn't the senior, it was the freshman.
Yeah, it was Hayden.
And he looked terrific on the field goal. 22-yarder finishes off a 7-play scoring drive for the Streaks. It covered 28 yards in just over 2 minutes, 2 minutes and 3 seconds. After the Marion fumble, and the Streaks now lead by 10.
Yeah, I thought, well, maybe they sent, because the soccer team's playing over here right now, too. I thought, well, maybe they split the difference and sent Jover to play soccer. I'm not sure.
And the kickoff for the Silver Streaks, with Anderson not here now, is made by Joey Lucero and downfield and into the end zone. A pretty mighty leg there by Joey. And Marion will have it at the 20, moving into the wind with 11:07 to go here in the game, and the Silver Streaks having scored 18 unanswered to take a 10-point lead.
That had to feel so good for the freshman Hayden to make that field goal. His teammates were all congratulating him, because I know he took that pretty hard in the first game here when the had the block punt that led to a or a fumbled punt that led to a Dunlap score.
Mm-hmm. All right, Silver Streak's got a Myler sack to stall out a Marion drive on the first possession of the second half. Then they fumbled on the first play of their second possession, and now the play goes to the right, and the Silver Streak's defense is up to the task with a huge stop and a very short gain on first down as Ziegler tried to roll to the outside, and the Streaks didn't give him any room to run. Gain of 2, second and 8. We are in the fourth quarter. Silver Streaks have taken a 10-point lead. And as good as their offense has been in the second half, the defense has done a tremendous job as well. Here's Baker, the quarterback, rolling to the near side. He throws with a man cutting back upfield. And he lost Tyree Mitchell in the secondary, and the catch made by Seth Bayer on a first down for Marion, as he did a good job cutting back upfield. Faked out Mitchell, and the ball sitting at the 33-yard line after a gain of 11.
And that play plays right into what Marion likes to do with a left-handed quarterback. You want to roll this way, throw this sideline. It's pretty safe.
Baker double clutches, throws it low. Is it picked up or is it taken on a bounce? They're going to say the ball touched the ground.
Yeah.
And a nice job by Marion, Dylan Simpson, to try to sell that one. But it looked like the ball was underthrown and skipped off the ground, and he did scoop it up right off the turf.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the one official on the far side saw that. I'm not sure that there was a couple over here that had made any indication, and it was clear that it bounced.
Yeah, he was pretty emphatic coming from the far side over there.
Yep, and he got it right.
Second and 10 from the Marion 33. Baker in the shotgun. They've gone to the spread offense, rolling right, avoids a tackle, and the catch made at the 45-yard line, trying to spin off a tackle. And Jaden Lacy can't break free, but he's right in first down territory, 2 yards past the marker at the 45.
Well, you know, we had talked how Marion, late first half and their first possession this half, had gone into that real tight formation running behind the big boys. Well, they've scrapped that now that they're 10 points down, and they're going to use the left arm of their senior quarterback to see if they can't get down the field and get back in this.
Three wideouts to the near side. Single setback is Ziegler back there to block. The rush is on. A little dump pass thrown over the top on the screen to Ziegler. It's caught. Streaks force him to the outside and run him out of bounds short of the 50-yard line at the 48 for a gain of 3.
To hold that to 3-yard gain is a defense well done, because that play is designed, and we did come through with a couple of guys rather quickly there, but as soon as he dumped it off, our guys in the secondary adjusted quickly, and the linebacker is able to go over there and shove him out of bounds.
Yeah, you get too many people into the backfield going after the quarterback.
Yeah.
You're not going to have anybody downfield to go after the receiver.
Yeah, you can have a 5-yard pass make 50 yards on that play.
Three wideouts to the left. That's the direction Baker is moving. He throws it to the sideline. It's caught, and out of bounds goes Bayer, and a late hit on the Silver Streaks is going to add yardage to the penalty at the 41-yard line. And there's going to be 15 yards tacked on here. Yeah,
Tyree Mitchell, very ill-advised play there. He
hit him out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating for him because he's in one-on-one coverage over here against Seth Bayer, and Bayer just running that sideline out, and Mitchell just not quite able to keep up with that. Well, he just went over there and tackled him way out of bounds. That was an easy flag to throw and a bad 15-yard penalty. We'd been penalty-free this half up until that, hadn't we?
Yep. That's the second completion to Bayer in man-on-man coverage against Tyree. So I wonder if you're going to see a defensive switch by the Silver Streaks. As a 15-yard penalty now takes Marion down to the 27-yard line. The snap to Baker, quick pass across the middle, and he overthrows the intended receiver. That was a quick-developing play, but too quick as it was overthrown to Adolph Paulson. Second and 10 from the Galesburg 27.
I thought we'd create one more turnover here. That would be sweet.
Yeah, before they get too much deeper.
Yes.
9:51 is where the clock stops here. Early fourth quarter, Galesburg leads by 10. Streaks are coming. Stop. Now the snap to Baker. Rolling right. The left-hander cuts back to the left. Up the middle. Now he's going to try to get to the 25 to the 20-yard line. Up the sideline. Finally run out of bounds inside the 15. Down to the 12. And that'll be a first down for Marion after a gain of 15. And that's the first time we've seen Baker pick up any kind of major yardage like that on the ground.
Yeah, and he can do it. He's got some good speed over here. Got down the sideline for more yardage than I thought he'd get. Kelly came over and finally chased him out of bounds. But they're in business at our 12.
First down knocking on the door. And the Streaks. Morin was coming up the middle.
Didn't time that one quite right.
No, the streaks were coming from the outside. And I mean, he was coming right up in the middle in the vision of Baker, who I think had to just say, we're holding on to it. So the five-yard offside penalty now makes it first and five from the seven. So two big penalties by the Silver Streaks on this drive.
It looked like the movie The Longest Yard when they said, let him come through.
The snap to Baker. Short drop, looking across the middle. Oh, I thought it was batted down, but somehow it got into the hands of Jaden Lacy for the touchdown.
Well, that was too easy.
Just when Marion, you think, back within four.
Just when you think the Silver Streaks clearly have control of this game, Marion scraps the running offense and starts throwing it all over the field and mixed it up very well. That was an impressive drive to get the Wildcats back in the game.
Did it in a big hurry, too. We'll wait for the extra point attempt and then tell you about the scoring drive here. Let's see what happens. With a four-point lead. The snap is down, and the Streaks blocked it! The Streaks blocked it, and that's huge, giving the Galesburg Silver Streaks a four-point lead as Mitchell was in there, and was it Kelly, I think, who came through and got a hand on it?
Yep, sure was. And, yeah, so now you've got a four-point advantage. Next time they go to score, they cannot do a field goal. They got to go for six.
Possible candidate for Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. 9:38 to go. Streaks lead 24-20. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Galesburg Nissan's bottom line sales event is going on now. 0% financing for 72 months plus rebates on all 2015 Sentras and the best-selling Nissan Altima. 0% financing is also available on our exciting lineup of SUVs featuring the fuel-efficient Rogue, the luxurious Murano, and the 7-passenger Pathfinder. With over 100 new Nissans in stock and more arriving every day, the selection has never been greater. Bottom line sales event going on now at Galesburg Nissan, where you just can't buy a Nissan for less.
Pick this week's winning teams and you could win a $50 Cherry Street gift certificate with the Pro Football Pick'em on WGIL.com.
Nine plays, 80 yards for Marion that they covered in just a minute 29. The 7-yard pass play from Baker to Lacy, but then the Streaks block the extra point and they keep it at a four-point lead, which, as Jim said, field goal doesn't do a good. And now whistles as the ball falls off the tee at the 40-yard line. So that wind still has some punch every now and then.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Every now and then, when they scored the touchdown, I looked up and the flag was just hanging limp, and I thought, well, maybe we're done with the breeze today, but then it kicked up there a little bit again. This stadium is a little bit of a bowl, but really nothing like the Knox Bowl. It's not set down in that much, so I don't think you're shielded much from the wind.
And the kick, line drive skimming across the field, scooped up by Clay at the far side at the 22. Trying to feel his way up the far side toward the sideline, stops short of the 30 is where the Streaks will begin this drive with 9:33 to go in the fourth quarter, leading by four.
Yeah, Clay pretty cautious once he picked that ball up, and job one is ball security. You don't want any turnovers here, especially when you're still up three and you work so hard to get there. But now the offense, which is 2 for 2 so far on possessions in the second half, we'll see if they can't do it again.
Galesburg drive starts from the 29-yard line, leading 24-20. Streaks have outscored Marion 15-6 after trailing 14-6 at the half. And a big hole up the middle and running room for DeAndre Morin, who gets the first down before being stopped at the 41 for a gain of 12.
From down here, I thought Ross did a nice job of deception. We put two guys, stacked them wide. Ross is looking over this way even when he gets the snap, and you're thinking, all right, something's developing this direction. He just slyly hands it off to Morin off the other side, and I think that caught the defense off guard. Morin was not been able to get a lot of yards inside today. Got a bunch there.
27th carry for 170 yards for Morin. 72 of them here in the second half. They fake going to him. Ross with the keeper to the outside. He's got the first down at the far sideline. Inside Marion territory. Stopped at the 42-yard line. He picks up 17. And just like that, the Streaks have crossed the 50.
Well, the defenses were, for the most part, dominant in the first half. a lot of help from penalties on both of the offenses, but still. But in the second half right now, it's become a completely offensive game. I'm so glad we got that field goal and got that lead. And now Ross is limping up to the line, though. I don't know if he's faking it or not, but he's limping pretty hard on that left ankle.
Hand off up the middle to Morin. Crosses the 40, moves the pile forward to the 37-yard line for a hard gain for DeAndre. Picks up 5 on first down. Ross, 7 carries for 72 yards. All of his yardage coming in the second half.
You know, and I risk, as I say this, getting cards and letters if we turn it over, but this team has become so much better under Tim Doherty and ball security. I mean, we're going to have turnovers once in a while, but I mean, we come to Silver Street games and we would blunder and turn it over 4 or 5 times a game, and this team is doing a nice job holding on to the ball.
Goes to Morin, tries to bounce to the outside, gets the first down, taken down at the 30-yard line. The initial hit had him stopped for a gain of maybe a yard or two, but Morin, slippery as he can be, bounces to the outside, gains 7 to the 30, and the Streaks move the chains, and the clock continues to roll once they get the chain set as we approach 8 minutes to play in the game, and the Streaks are moving it downfield quickly themselves.
And, you know, coming into this game, when I talked with Coach Kerry Martin of Marion earlier in the week, he said, I look at the film, and he said, this Galesburg team, he said, I can tell is really well coached.
Now, I remember him saying that.
You know, sometimes, you've heard that, and it's like, well, really, are you just trying to butter us up or what? But I think he really meant it. That was part of the reason they wanted this game. They thought they would get good competition, and it's certainly proven to be that for Galesburg.
Morin stopped short of the line of scrimmage as the tackle is made in the backfield and wrapped up and taken down with a knee down behind the 30, which is where the first down marker is. Just how far back behind the 30 are they going to move this? Not very far. Nose of the football just short, so we'll call it no gain and no loss. Second and 10 for the Streaks at the Marion 30-yard line. Ross comes up under center with Morin the deep back. The fake to him. Ross tripped up, keeps his footing, now throws downfield. Man open and dropped by Jacob Carl. Woo. Inside the 10-yard line, just off his hands. And I don't know if Seth Bayer somehow reached in from behind and managed to get just a finger on that. But
I don't think so.
Jacob was right there, and it falls incomplete.
You'll have that once in a while. Last week we saw it from Caleb
Twice.
Clay. And then they went right back to Clay on the next play and made a nice catch in the first down.
And then Jacob Carl had a drop, and they went right back to him, and that might have been the one he caught for the touchdown. I can't remember for sure.
Well, yeah, because Ross came out of that, and I thought he was going to fall over. He stumbled, and he took a big curl in the backfield, a deep route, but that time allowed Carl to get open and unfortunately just couldn't haul it in.
Third and 10 from the Wildcats 30 with the Streaks leading by 4. A fake handoff. Back to pass. Ross under pressure, wrapped up in the backfield, still on his feet, and now he's going to be whistled down behind the 30, behind the 40-yard line. It was Chance Hilliard who came back and got him. Give Marion credit for the defense downfield as Ross couldn't find anybody, and he takes a loss back to the 43 of minus 13.
You know, and Ross is still favoring that left leg. Now, we're going to have to punt it, obviously, here.
Yep.
But you hope that he can shake that off because I don't think he's going to be able to be much of a running threat for us next time we get the ball until he's able to put a little more weight on that left foot.
So it goes to him. He gets the pooch kick away. Nobody downfield to catch it. Takes one bounce and then hops into the end zone. So Marion will have it at the 20 with 6:21 to go in the game. Streaks leading by 4. And Marion, with a lot of time left, as quickly as they've shown twice, they can move downfield once in a scoring drive that took just over a minute. Their last scoring drive took a minute 29, and both of those scoring drives were 80 yards or more.
Yeah, you would hope that we would be able to get some points out of that and put a little more distance between them and us, especially with, as you said, how quickly they moved the ball down the field the last time. I was waiting to see if the trainers take a look at Ross at all. Maybe it's just a cramp. I'm not sure.
He's down there staying on his feet on the sideline. Nobody's paying much attention to him. Handoff up the middle to Paulson. A short gain of a yard. He doesn't go anywhere. I think that was Morin who got in and made the stop. DeAndre maybe saying, I can't get it done offensively. I'll make sure we get it done defensively. Silver Streaks lead by four. As we are past the midpoint of quarter number two, the rush is on for the Streaks from the left. Short pass is actually caught short of the line of scrimmage behind the 20, and then the Streaks converge right there and prevent any kind of gain afterward.
We blitzed that time with Jason Kelly, who timed it pretty well coming in from the right side. Coaching staff thought they might get a hold over there.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, number 60, Josh Messamore, from the backside on Kelly, but he let go of him quickly enough that they didn't flag him.
So a gain of just a yard is what they'll actually signal it as. It brings up third and a long eight here. Streaks coming in from the left side. Baker rolling to his left. Pass complete across the 30. It'll be enough for the first down if he secured it. Looks like he did. Players on the sideline for Galesburg blocked my view, but no indication from the officials that it was dropped. So Marion will move the chains up to the 33-yard line. Picks up 11.
And I'm not sure Marion feels like we can stop that play. I think anytime they need that yardage, they're going to keep going to it with Baker rolling to his left, the left-hander throwing to the sideline, and they're able to get that completion every time.
Two wideouts to the left. Two wideouts to the right. Baker throws to the right behind his man, incomplete, short of the 40-yard line. Clock stops, 5:02 to play in the game. Galesburg leading 24-20. It's been a tremendous battle. Marion trailed last week. An extra point attempt seemed to be the difference, what was going to be the difference in that game, as Marion took the game-winning drive downfield and scored with, what was it, Jim? 14 seconds
14
left?
14 seconds left, right.
Ended up winning that game by one, and this one looking like it might go down to the end as well. And here comes a late flag. We're going to have a face mask on the Silver Streaks as Baker carried to the left. He was wrapped up and stopped at the 40-yard line, and an incidental hand got in there and got him on the face mask.
I'm afraid it might be Tyree Mitchell again, who got that flag for the late hit on the last drive, 15 yards, and I'm afraid they're going to get Tyree for a reach there. Myler was the one that got his ankle. He was nowhere near the face mask. He got the low side of the tackle, but then Mitchell came over and picked up the face mask. And, boy, these, what do we have, 17 total penalties in the first half. We haven't seen many flags here in the second on either team, but a couple of big ones against Galesburg.
They're over 100 yards in penalties now, 13th of the game, fourth here in the second half, but it seemed like every one for Galesburg has been a big one. This moves the ball to the Marion 44-yard line. 4:45 and counting here in the fourth quarter with the Streaks leading by four. Two wideouts to each side for the Wildcats. Baker rolling right. The left-hander steps up, avoids a sack in the backfield, and just off the fingertips of Lacey, the ball was thrown on the far side over the hands of Fernando Diaz, and when Diaz went up going for the interception, that left Lacey open behind him, but it was just a little too tall for him too.
That was a funny play because it was a duck. He threw a wobbler out there, and Diaz jumped just a little too early because the ball did hang up because it didn't have any spiral on it, and it almost ended up being a big completion that time. We were pretty fortunate that thing fell incomplete.
Second and 10 from the Marion 44-yard line. Clock stop, 4:34 to play in the game. Baker in the shotgun. Three-step drop. Looking right. Going long. Man-on-man coverage opposite side, and it's caught. Taken away from Diaz. He went right back to Lacey, who takes it in for the touchdown. No flags down. Marion takes a two-point lead on a 56-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, on the previous play, Lacey was the guy that almost got it on the deflection. Went right back at it, only a little deeper that time. And Lacey's the reason they got a touchdown there. That ball wasn't thrown, I mean, it was thrown deep. It wasn't a particular, it was just a grab, up for grabs.
Yep.
And Lacey just made the better play on it. I thought he probably got away with a little bump. If you want to call it pass interference on the offense, you might have been able to make that case, but it wasn't blatant enough. The officials just said it was two guys going for the ball. Lacey just able to out-duel, and Marion has the lead.
So an extra point attempt for Marion to make it a three-point lead. The snap is down. The high kick hits the right upright and falls short. So another key extra point potentially in this game If the Streaks can take it downfield, a field goal could win it. With 4:24, Streaks down 2, 26-24. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Hey, Nick Cannon here. So we all know we've got a lot of talent in America. But unfortunately, there's something else we've got way too much of. Childhood hunger. 17 million kids struggle with it in this country. That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks gather surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
Third scoring drive of the game from Marion that covers 80 yards or more in less than 2 minutes. Seven plays, 80 yards, a minute 57. They miss the extra point, but regain the lead at 26-24. So the key message there, Jim, I guess, with 4:24 left in the game, Streaks need to come downfield and leave about 3 seconds on the clock. Perfect world, right?
Sounds good.
Here comes the kickoff, a line drive down the right side of the field, taken on a scoop on the run by Nick Myler upfield to the 25, tries to bounce to the outside, crosses the 35-yard line, and dives forward to the 37. Nice run back by Nick Myler and gives the Streaks good starting position, taking 6 seconds off the clock with 4:18 to play.
Yeah, here it is. I mean, this is what teams at every level practice. We've got the ball for a final drive to win the ball game.
Instead and timeouts of, if
yes,
they need them.
Yeah, and it's not like we got 2 minutes. We got 4:18. Let's see what we can make happen here. This has been a tremendous high school football
game. Yeah, it has.
It's had a little bit of everything.
Three wideouts to the right for the Silver Streaks, and Jacob Ross stays on the field despite, as Jim indicated earlier, seeming to hobble a little bit, but not out there hobbling right now. And the handoff goes to Morin, who stuffed at the line of scrimmage. Marion was ready for him. And I don't know if he gained any on first down. Streaks' last drive stalled, but they moved the ball nicely, and were it not for a dropped pass, could have had another touchdown out of it. So it's not like Marion has found a reliable stop to this Galesburg offense here in the second half. On second and nine, Ross the fake. Rolling out, rolls right, finds Myler at the 50 to the 45, spins inside, close to the 40, dives across the 40 to the 38-yard line, and Myler added 7 yards of his own on a tremendous effort.
Yeah, I love the play call. A really good job. Ross is coming of age in this game. He threw a beautiful pass, and I when Nick returned it on the kickoff, I'm thinking let's get it in his hands as much as possible because, in my opinion, Nick Myler is the best football player on the field, offensively and defensively combined, both teams. He for his size, he is really special, and I love to see us keep it in Nick Myler's hands.
92 yards receiving for Myler and a delayed handoff to Morin. It looked like a hard effort to get up the middle, and somehow he fights his way inside the 30-yard line and gets very close to a first down at the 28.
Yeah, well, and that was nearly a fumble. He took that handoff high up by the shoulder pad, and I'm thinking, hey, just don't turn it over here. And next thing you know, he's able to squirt his way up the middle and pick up yardage, and we may have...
Yep, they're going to measure here. So the clock stops with 3:18 to go.
Okay. And one of the Marion players was shaken up, too, and I thought they were going to make him go off the field or take a timeout, but now the measurement makes it so they don't have to do that.
So, and this works nicely for the Silver Streaks, moving the ball as gives Coach Tim Doherty a chance to come over and get a little extra word in with Jacob Ross. Taps him on the front of the helmet. Positive little body language there. They stretch the chains out, and the Streaks are maybe the length of the football short. It'll be second and one. I don't know how DeAndre got what he got out of that play.
Well, when Marion had that extra point hit the upright, I looked over and a number of their fans had their hands on their heads because they knew what that meant.
Uh-huh.
It meant that the Streaks could beat them with a field goal.
And if the Streaks can get a touchdown, then they would have to score a touchdown with whatever time's remaining, and they could not tie it with a field goal.
Right.
Single setback is Morin to the right of Ross. Fakes the handoff. Ross rolling right. Has to get away from a man and taken down in the grass. But it's Hilliard again who drops Ross back at the... Well, they're going to spot it at the 29-yard line. So he loses a little bit. Unfortunately for the Silver Streaks, they were very close to the first down marker. So not a big loss here. And still third and one.
Yeah, you'd look silly if you took a big loss on second and short in that situation. But Ross at least able to get near the line of scrimmage, but Hilliard was just locked on to him. He was the only man for Marion that could make the play, and he was going to.
From the Marion 29-yard line, third and one for the Silver Streaks. Clock rolling under 2.5 minutes to play in the game. Now Galesburg trailing by two. And Ross tripped up as I think he got his feet crossed up with the center, and he fell backward. He tried to hand off to DeAndre Morin before he hit the ground, but the official said no, he was already down. And it's now fourth and four.
Wow.
Almost fourth and five.
Boy, that couldn't have come at a worse time. I mean, unless it was on fourth down, I guess. But we went from second and less than a yard.
And
now
fourth and four.
Fourth and, yeah, a long four maybe. And the game on the line with 2:04 to go.
And the Streaks have had to take a timeout that they did not want to have to take here. They are 1-for-5 in the second half on third down and 0-for-3 in the fourth quarter alone. And now facing a fourth down, they tried on fourth down on their first possession here in the second half and converted that, eventually ending up with a touchdown. Now with the ball sitting at the Marion 32, this is the ball game with 2:04 to play. If the Streaks do not convert, they're in a world of hurt.
Yeah, this game has had so many twists and turns, and you'd like to see it have a very exciting finish, but we're a play away from maybe just going down with a whimper rather than a bang here. Marion will get the ball, and I think, what, we got two timeouts or one timeout left?
We have one timeout now left because going for the two-point conversion back earlier in the second half, the Streaks used one then.
Yeah. It'll be over if we don't get this first down. And what a turnaround, too, having second and really less than a yard. And, yeah, I was shocked when we didn't just take it up the middle to begin with on that and risk the loss. But like you said, we only lost maybe a yard, so it wasn't that big a deal. But then the trip coming out from center and lose three more. Let's see. What we can do here is the teams line up with a game on the line for Galesburg and 2:04 to go on fourth down.
And not necessarily win or lose, but a chance to win for the Streaks. But all but impossible if they don't convert. Ross in the shotgun. Fakes the handoff. Rolls left. Man gets in the air. He goes for everything and overthrows Caleb Clay. Incomplete. Marion will take over on downs. Clay was open. He had a couple steps on the man in front of him, and Ross just overthrew it.
Yeah, when it looked like Galesburg had established dominance in this game at 24-14 going into the fourth quarter, Marion has answered the bell with a couple of touchdowns and a big defensive stop there, and it looks like their long trip up to Galesburg is going to feel like a shorter ride home, because unless they make a major blunder here, they are going to walk out of here with a two-point win and a hard-fought one on the road and a heartbreaker for Galesburg for the second time on their home field.
Out of the I formation. Handoff right. Ziegler doesn't have anywhere to go, and the Streaks get the defensive stop they need on first down. And they will call their final timeout, stopping the clock with a minute 48 to go.
And Benny Castellano, as he should, doing everything he could when that ball carrier went by to try and strip that ball out of there. Yanking, pulling, he could not get it away, because that is our only hope right now, because we are out of timeouts.
Well, we looked at what the Streaks have done, especially here in the second half, playing with such confidence coming out of halftime, moving the ball so well. The defense played well, and here we are thinking we're watching a team that lost so much varsity experience to graduation last year, maturing right before our eyes, and then all of a sudden, a dropped pass on a wide open play ends a potential scoring drive. And as you indicated, Jim, second and less than a yard to not being able to convert at all and continue to move the drive. And you just hope that this doesn't completely dismantle the maturing of this team that we thought we saw happening here on this Saturday afternoon. It's coming out of the timeout to Ziegler on second down, moving the pile forward up the middle to the 35-yard line. Now the officials blow the blow the play dead. And the clock will roll under a minute and a half to go before they even get the ball set back, bringing up third and six.
Yeah, no, I don't think this will hurt their confidence any. I think it's incredibly frustrating because they could be 2-1 or potentially 3-0, barring a couple of plays.
Yep.
And going into a game they clearly should win on their home field next week and then maybe favored again the following week. There's still a lot of opportunity, certainly in the Western Big Six, but it's been a very frustrating preseason to lose two close games at home. And we still got a minute left, but unless Marion does something unforeseen, they will walk out of here with a win. They're going to take a timeout.
Now, Baker was in the shotgun, and he looked over for a long time to the sideline, then looked back at the center, and then looked over at the sideline for another extended period of time. And that's when Marion called its timeout, stopping the clock with 61 seconds to play and a two-point Wildcat lead at 26-24. So the Streaks will watch this third down play begin with just over a minute to play. And assuming they can stop this third and six, avoid a first down, I mean, we're talking, 15 seconds? They'll get the ball back with a punt?
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's often said, and I agree, it's easier to lose by two touchdowns than 2 points. Because when you lose two touchdowns, you probably figure the other team was the better team. But you lose by 2 points, you usually can find a couple of spots where you yourself accounted for your loss.
All right, handoff goes to the right on the misdirection, up the middle, runs right into the Galesburg defense for a gain of a yard. So the Streaks defense does its job. Clock rolling with 50 seconds to play. Marion won't be in any hurry to get up off the ground and have this ball come set. So fourth and five from the Wildcats, 36-yard line. 35 seconds to play, and they'll let this roll all the way down before they'll take another timeout and avoid a delay of game penalty. With the side judge right over there standing right next to Coach Kerry Martin, who's waiting, keeping an eye on that clock. There's the timeout signal, and it stops the clock at 19 and a half seconds to go. So it's going to be closer to, it might be 15 seconds by the time the Streaks touch the ball on the punt if they choose to try to receive it and return it. And it'll, of course, that'll depend on what kind of a punt it is.
Well, we've blocked one today.
Right. That led to a touchdown.
So that's the concern for Marion. Do you go ahead and go into deep snap formation again? Because a bad snap, somebody misses a blocking assignment. Whereas if you go with the little shorter and just kind of a quick pooch kick, it's a safer kick.
Mm-hmm.
You're not as likely to get as much distance on it. But with only 19 seconds left, I don't think they really have to worry that much if they get 20 yards. I mean, it still makes it where the Silver Streaks would need a near miracle. So we'll see what they decide to do here.
That's only the fourth third down that Marion has faced in this second half. They converted two of their first three. The Streaks, meanwhile, despite their success early on in this second half, were only 1 of 5 on third downs here in the second half. And now stepping back, here comes the quick kick, but a short one. Bounces at the Galesburg 43. Chased down by Myler, scooped up at the 39, and he runs out of bounds at the 40. Where are they going to spot it exactly? The 46? About halfway between the 46 and the 47, and the Streaks have 11 and a half seconds left to make something special happen here.
Yeah,
and no timeouts.
Marion did what I thought they'd do. They did not go with the deep snap. They just the short snap and a quick kick and got the little bit of yardage out of it. And so the Silver Streaks pretty much looking to throw it up and try and get a... We got Ricketts wide to the right side here.
Yeah, they sure do.
What is this?
Just let him run over some people. Ross fumbles the snap, throws it across the middle of the field. It's caught, and that'll be a first down, stopping the clock with 6.8 seconds left on the reception from Jacob Carl. The Streaks scramble to get down to the 35-yard line after the gain of 19, and likely to spike the ball as quickly as they can. The official still has not put the ball down. He does. Here's the snap to Ross, and he spikes it with 4.8 seconds to go.
Well, at least you've got yourself in position with the wind at your back if you can get some protection to throw a ball toward the end zone.
Uh-huh.
Where we were the previous play, that wasn't really very possible. But now that we're here, you throw probably, you know, unless you've got some sort of a gadget play you've worked on, like a hook and ladder, you know, something deception-wise like that, you probably just throw it to the end zone. I mean, I've seen some teams realizing the middle of the field will probably open up a little bit because your corners are going to be pulled back towards the goal line and trying to prevent any of those home run balls. You know, you can try and throw it over the middle and hope some kid can take it all the way up there. But if you complete the pass and anybody tackles him shy of the goal line, the clock expires. So you figure either way with 4.8, you've got one play left. So
yeah. Well, and I'm just glad that the Streaks were successfully able to spike the ball there. After watching the end of the Kansas game last week when they were in this very same situation trying to get something off, they got a pass completion downfield, maybe about this spot, the 35, maybe a little deeper. Everybody scrambled up underneath center, and then the quarterback, after he takes the snap, fumbles it from the center, falls down, picks up the ball, stands up and tries to spike it, and the official said no, and the time ran
game
out.
Over.
They never did get a playoff.
Ouch.
All right, here we go. Coming out of the Marion timeout, which got everybody settled. Marion has five players deep inside the 15-yard line. Ross back, and we're going to Hail Mary it. Down the middle of the field into quintuple coverage. It's deflected and just out of the outstretched arms of the Silver Streaks in the end zone. And
Nick
it
Myler.
Falls incomplete.
Myler was on the ground trying to wish that ball to come to him after the collision. And he just got his fingertip on it, but there was no way you could haul that one in. But a dramatic finish, but not the finish we wanted in a great high school football game this Saturday afternoon.
Marion wins it 26-24. The post game's coming up next on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street. You just can't buy a Nissan for less. McDonald's in Galesburg and Knoxville. I'm loving it. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together better. By Cratty Insurance Agency, your local Rockford Mutual Insurance Agency in Galesburg. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
The official WGIL forecast, clear skies with a low of 44 tonight, sunshine with a high of 72 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, clear skies, a low down around 52. Monday, sunshine with a high of 78. Monday night, clear skies, our low dropping down around 60. And finally, Tuesday, sunshine high up around 83. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, overnight low of 61. Currently in downtown Galesburg, it is 63 at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Streaks fall to Marion 26-24 in a terrific high school football game here on a Saturday afternoon at Van Dyke Field. And Jim's down trying to sneak in a listen to what Tim Doherty's saying to the players. And I don't want to overlook the sportsmanship, and Tim Doherty is like this at high school football games. He made a special effort to seek out Isaac Baker, the quarterback for Marion. I mean, he was watching for him as the players were out there shaking hands, going up the middle of the field, doing the handshake at the end of the game. Good game, good game, good game. And Tim Doherty lurked and waited and tried to find Isaac Baker so he could go over and say something to him personally. So good sportsmanship despite a tough, tough loss for the Silver Streaks here today. And Coach Jim Lee is with Coach Tim Doherty now. Jim.
All right, Brad. Thanks. Down the field, Coach Doherty. a heck of a high school football game. I mean, either side, you've got to walk away from this feeling the ebb and flow. So many twists and turns in this ball game. You guys came up a little bit short, and your thoughts on it looking back?
We did. The opportunities to win a ball game, we didn't capitalize on. You know, yeah, great effort, great attitude. They're a very good ball club, very good ball club. You know, we just, I don't know, we just didn't capitalize, and I call it learning how to win games, and we just, you know, we failed to capitalize at key times.
It was interesting, the strategies, especially in the second half. They had late first half, second half, kind of got into this conservative offense using their big boys up front. Then you come out, spread the field, really start using Ross to run the ball more, and once they got down, all of a sudden they became pass happy after that. You kind of forced them into that, I guess.
Well, and we knew the two packages that they had. I was fearful of the one that they had in the first half where they body up and it's a JFL, you know, offense. But if you don't stop it and you're, you know, 6-8 yards a crack, I mean, you know, that was my fear in the first half. They controlled the time of possession and yardage probably. And then they came out and the quarterback's so good. He just, you know, he just made plays when he needed to. He's the difference maker and, you know, they won the game by the points they did.
Yeah. Well, and again, we saw Jacob Ross. We hadn't seen much this year. A lot of times he would roll out, but was really hesitant to run the ball. But there, in that, did you say at halftime, this is what we need to do to get an extra threat out there? Is have you take it upfield a little bit?
Well, I mean, it's a base staple of our offensive play of our system, and he was not keeping it. And you know, we didn't do anything different other than he just made the correct read and you know forced them to get out of that defense, but. You know, we just, first half, we didn't play very well offensively, I didn't think.
Well, and like you pointed out at halftime, you were moving the ball, but then every time you take two steps forward, one would come back. Your penalties, you had a couple of tough defensive ones in the second half, but overall the penalties were down. Is that just because of you reminding them, hey, we got to be a little more aware of what we're doing out there?
And we had foolish penalties in the first half. That we had three opportunities in the red zone that we didn't maximize on. We had penalties that killed us. And I don't know. We just great effort. I'm proud of the kids. We just didn't play smart.
Yeah. Well, and then you have the ball there toward the end, though, with the second and short, and then on third down, the trip. I guess he just tripped over the center's heel, and that's just an unfortunate human error, I guess.
I guess, you know, I have to see it. He got stepped on, and you know that happens. You know, it happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're 1-2 in the preseason. Two really tough losses on your home field. But I urge you. Talking to the kids, like you told us, no lack of effort, no lack of desire or hustle. You love this team. They just got to figure out how to win these close ones.
Our two losses are against quality opponents. I mean, there's no question. The first three games have been, you know, great quality opponents, you know, and it's obviously Dunlap's a good team. They're going to be a playoff team. So, you know, we just have to fix ourselves and keep getting better.
Why you get a couple of games before the conference season. I think you and everybody here, though, feels like you got a good shot going down the rest of the way here.
Well, thanks.
All right, I won't try to convince you that too hard, but I know you do. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
As always, our thanks to the coach for joining us here in the post game as the Silver Streaks, as Jim said, just lose a heartbreaker, second time in 3 weeks, this time by two here at home, 26-24, to a team that's made the playoffs for a decade straight. Take a timeout. We'll run through the final numbers here from Van Dyke Field as the Streaks fall by two and are 1-2 on the season. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Did you know that many electronics are banned from all Illinois landfills? TVs, computers, fax machines, printers, video game consoles, and many other devices. Along with their components, they contain toxic materials such as lead, mercury, arsenic, cadmium, and beryllium. Therefore, these items must be properly recycled to prevent soil and groundwater contamination.
For your convenience, there are three collection sites in Knox County that you can drop off your electronics. Waste Management at 1360 South Henderson Street in Galesburg is open weekdays from 10 to 2. And Saturday mornings from 8 to 10. Bradshaw's TV and Appliance in Abingdon accepts items on Wednesdays from 9 to 3 and Saturdays from 9 to noon. And the Village Maintenance Garage in Williamsfield performs electronics recycling quarterly.
The simplest way to think about this is if it connects anywhere to your TV or to your computer, it must be taken to one of the three locations mentioned to be properly recycled. And keep in mind, if your electronic items are heavy, please bring someone with you to unload. Thank you for doing your part to keep your community safer and healthier.
Look
Looking to spruce up your kitchen? Maybe add a decorative countertop or some new cabinets? Give Courtright Construction a call for a free estimate. They can create a one-of-a-kind countertop that has the look of real stone for a fraction of the price. Learn more at CourtrightConstruction.com. The right choice for your next project. Courtright Construction of Oneida.
Silver Streak Football on WGIL brought to you by attorney Tricia Blake at Blake Law Office in downtown Galesburg. Caring Hands Animal Clinic. Caring Hands, Caring Hearts next to Bart Optical on Henderson Street. And by Templeton Roofing, best in roofs. Galesburg's commercial and residential roofing contractor since 1930.
Exciting news from Dave's Auto Body. We are now F-150 aluminum truck specialists. We're one of the small percentage of shops in the state of Illinois who are equipped to handle this brand new truck. It's exciting for us. It's a great truck. Come to Dave's Auto Body if you need to have it repaired.
With the Yum Ford Pro Football Pick'em, there's a weekly winner as well as a grand prize of $500 and more. Pick your teams now at WGIL.com.
Continue our postgame with the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, as we talked with Coach Tim Doherty pretty quickly there, so we didn't get a chance to go through that. We had a lot of candidates in this game, Jim, especially early on. Caleb Clay with the blocked punt. Jason Kelly returned it for the Streak's first score of the game. Nick Myler had a huge sack earlier in the game and a pretty amazing interception. Then Jacob Ross came out in the second half, and the kid was all over the place. He was running the ball. He was throwing the ball. It just had about as good a third quarter as I think you could have, as you could have, as the Streaks outscored Marion 15-0 in that third quarter, took the lead, and then it was a battle right on down to the very end. But I think we've got our crunch time player of the game figured out.
Yeah, because like you said, we had numerous candidates, and I could have been talked into Jacob Ross for what he did on a number of occasions running the ball, and then the final scoring pass. But the guy that caught it, I think just over the body of the game, Nick Myler did so much out there today, and we've come to expect that from him on both sides of the ball. But a big touchdown catch that put us up at that point by what was 10 points at the time. But at that point, we didn't realize we wouldn't see the end zone again. We came close, but we didn't get it done.
Myler with six catches for 92 yards, including the 32-yard touchdown. Patrick Bond had a couple of catches. Jacob Carl had that big 19-yard reception that set up what could have been the game-winning touchdown. DeAndre Morin ended up running another big day, 191 yards. So, you know, we speculated early on. He ran over 300 last year and thought, well, he'd be lucky to get half of that this week. And here he got 191, so that's certainly not a bad day at all there.
Well, and in a game like this, you'd like to reset some things, especially when you come up short. You think of all the things we came close on. The ball Jacob Carl had right in his hands down here, what, the 10-yard line, and couldn't haul that one in. That's probably a game changer. The long pass play, as I talked with a couple of folks coming up here as well, I thought they got away with a push-off on the pass play that was completed for the long one that wasn't called, and that's the first thing somebody else brought up. They thought from up here it looked clearly like it was possibly a pass interference. And with all the things that were called today, that's a pretty big play if that was indeed the case to not get that called. And then, of course, you're backing up from center here on third and one when you may be driving for the winning score and fall down and lose 5 yards and it ends up costing you. So, you know, any one of those plays or some others could turn the score around, but on this particular Saturday afternoon it didn't, and Marion goes home happy.
That was a 56-yard touchdown pass that Jim was referring to from Isaac Baker to Jaden Lacy that ended up being the game winner. The difference in it is 26-24. So our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game does go to Nick Myler. Again, Morin with 191 yards rushing. Jacob Ross finished with 55 yards on the ground, all in the second half. Ross also passed for 135, including that touchdown pass to Nick Myler. Isaac Baker, meanwhile, passed for 205 yards for Marion and three touchdowns. Brandon Ziegler ran for two touchdowns. Baker threw for two and Ziegler ran for two. Ziegler finished with 87 yards rushing. He had 66 in the first half, and the Streaks held him to just 21 in the second half. So the defense really did quite a turnaround in the second half for the Silver Streaks as well. They were a big part of this game as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because, number 11 Ziegler was a real problem for us in that first half, and he really didn't hardly have the ball in the second half, but we kind of forced their hand to some extent, jumping out to that lead with two quick scores, and maybe that was the worst thing that could have happened because then they opened up their offense and got down the field a couple of times, and really that was the Marion team I expected to see a little more, mm-hmm. that threw the ball a lot and was able to utilize the whole field, because we'd seen that he threw his to a number of different receivers in previous games. They'd scored quite a few points against the Champaign team, so you knew that they had those weapons. And unfortunately, once we got up what we thought was a little more comfortably, it just opened the door for them to cut loose and turn their quarterback, Baker, and company loose on us.
Again, three of their four scoring drives today went 80 yards or more in less than 2 minutes each time.
Yeah,
and that's the team we thought we'd see today.
Yes, and for Marion, that really bodes well for them going, if they end up in the playoffs again this year, because those teams are dangerous. They never feel like they're out of it. When you've got weapons like that, you've got a quarterback with confidence that can make things happen, you can pull some games out of the fire. And I guess, you know, really, it's early in the season, but they've had almost kind of two playoff games here. If they lose to Centennial last week, with 14 seconds left they scored, mm-hmm, they would have lost that game. If they drop this one, they could be 0-3 and be looking down the gauntlet at a really tough season. But they'd be able to pull two out of the fire against two good ball teams. Now they're 2-1 going into their conference, and they're feeling good about themselves.
And the Silver Streaks hopefully will not go into the conference next week feeling down on themselves, because when you look at what the six teams in the Western Six, Big Six, are doing right now, there's only one team that's over 500, and that's Quincy.
Yeah.
Now, who would have thought that years ago? But keeping in mind that Quincy, Galesburg, and Alleman shared the title last year, but Alleman, the other five teams are all 1-2.
Yeah.
And even for UT to be 1-2, you know,
sure,
even that's a bit of a surprise. So
you look at Alleman, though, with their losses, a close one to Metamora and a close one to Sterling.
Sterling.
So there's no shame in that.
No.
They're going to be really, really tough, and we got to play them up at their place. And Rock Island lost to a good Algonquin Jacobs club and to Edwardsville. So the Rocks, I don't think, are down. I think they've hit some really good competition, too. But I think it does give an indication that they're not overpowering either, or they would have won those games. So this Galesburg team continues to improve. Again, like I said, if we don't turn it over, which we've done a pretty good job of, we can hang in with a lot of teams because we're big enough up front, and the kids seem to be on page with what Coach Doherty wants them to do. I'm encouraged. I think that, you know, this team, you know, it may not end up in the playoffs, but I think every night they're going to go out and give us a real good ball game.
Absolutely. Just not on the high end of the good ball game here today. Falling by 2, 26-24 to a good Marion team. And again, not to overemphasize, but this team's made the playoffs every year for the last decade. So the Silver Streaks hanging with a good one here today, that's an indication of where this team has come from and where it seems to be heading as well.
Yeah, a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon out here. Beautiful day and just a back. I've seen playoff games like this that just had this back and forth feel to it, evenly matched. And if you put these two teams out here again at any point in the season, I'll almost guarantee you it'd be about the same difference. They're that evenly matched.
So homecoming next week, Moline will be in town, and we'll have it here back on Friday night. And as we mentioned earlier, the sophomores will get to play prior to the varsity for the first time this season next Friday night as well. Freshmen lost here today to Rock Island, 30-23. That's it for here. For Van Dyke Field, for Nick Simpson at the downtown studios, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Benowitz. Again, Streaks fall by 2. Good afternoon from Van Dyke Field.
Trying to convey an idea to somebody else never results in the vision you had in your head. Take matters into your own hands. Let Breedlove Sporting Goods help you design your next t-shirt. Navigate to BreedloveSports.com, click on the t-shirt designer icon, and put your mad design skills to work. Start by picking your canvas, t-shirts, polos, hoodies, even drinkware, signs, and banners. From there, you can customize everything, color, artwork, text, numbers, even upload an image. You can be the designer with Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Get started now at BreedloveSports.com.
Silver Streaks Football on WGIL brought to you by Dickerson's Photography. Timeless images for you and your family. Office specialists providing solutions for your business. And by Dennis Twitty State Farm, helping you manage the risks of everyday life, recovery from the unexpected, and realize your dreams. Your home for Silver Streaks Football, WGIL.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.